about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's not your fault, Richard. This is just something that can't be taught. So leave the next one to me. I can feel a big one coming on.
What are you gonna do?
I'm not sure yet, but give me room. There's something inside of me that has to come out. And who am I to stop it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We're gonna get better every day. We're gonna be tenacious. Something knocks us down, we're gonna get back up, and we're gonna keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming.
I'm hearing some language that I don't like.
And Bad Religion and Off are playing playing somewhere. Anyway, I got them written down, but didn't put the name of the club. But they're playing somewhere on April 17th.
Oh, thanks a lot.
And now,
any questions?
I have a question. That was horrible.
Our feature presentation.
By the way, April 17th is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
we better find out.
Has anybody tracked down where they're playing, or should we just drive
around? I'm just
around
waiting on Rodney. Rodney's going to let us know.
Just drive around and hope for the best.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to figure it out, though. It's hard.
He's the best. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It's the 16th of April.
How'd you get the pink eye, Allie?
It's not pink eye. I believe it's allergies, Bean.
Oh, you're a doctor now?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if Dr. Drew can be one. I mean, really.
No, he actually went to school to be a doctor.
I don't know. I think I'm with Allie on this one. Yeah. I'm not sure that that's real. I've never seen the evidence. Mm. Isn't Allie unlikely to get pink eye because isn't that one of those illnesses that you have to get from somebody else? You have to be in close quarters with somebody else?
You're so mean.
I think
you got to be near another person.
I could have probably just touched a surface or something.
Oh, does it work like that?
Sure.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's anywhere. But I do actually see people in my life. Yesterday, I went to the grocery store, so there's
so
one
you're there. All right.
Behind some strangers in line. It could have jumped that way.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, what's in your cart? Trying to start a conversation.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that went south.
Just ignore you.
Now you have pink eye.
These melons. Nothing.
Pink eye's a bad deal. Have you ever had it, Kevin?
I don't think so.
I haven't either, but I've known people have it, and it seems miserable.
I had it as a kid.
Wait, who says pink eye's a bad deal and I've never had it in the same sentence?
Because I know people have had it, and it seems miserable.
All right.
Okay. I mean, cancer's a bad deal, too. I know that. I've never had it.
All right.
I think with pink eye, though, your eyes are kind of, it's swollen shut and there's like gunk in it.
Yes,
I don't have that.
And it hurts.
I just have sharp shards of glass in my eye.
Oh, that's all good, though.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay.
As long as
you're still, in phase one.
Awesome.
So by 8 a.m., we'll be having a different conversation.
Oh.
Which is that all of us have pink eye.
Right, exactly.
That's the conversation.
Hey, I wouldn't want to be a police officer for any number of reasons, not the least of which is it's got to be one of the hardest jobs in the world, and you put your life on the line. You literally can be killed every day you go to work, as sad and as tragic as that is.
Can you imagine for one second getting pulled over by Officer Bean?
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Awesome. Speaking of being pulled over,
do you have any idea how fast you were going?
Officers, this is confusing to me because officers have a certain amount of discretion sometimes in who they arrest. There's some obvious ones where you know, it's clearly a criminal activity and they've got to be arrested. But, you know, if you get pulled over, the officer can let you go if he wants to, right?
Right, right.
Sure.
And, you know, it's such a fine line because if he lets you go just because he's being a good guy, maybe there's, you know, he's allowed to do that. If he lets you go because, you know, you're an ex-cop or because you're his neighbor or his kid or something like that, then now all of a sudden maybe you get in trouble. So there's a lot of judgment calls that have to be made on the job. And here's one that is interesting to me. I guess the argument is that this is inappropriate, but this officer, three officers actually, are working a Texas music festival. It's called Chili Fest. It's a big, it's a mini version of the Stagecoach Festival going on out in India this weekend. It's a bunch of country music artists in Snook, Texas. And as you can imagine, big, big crowds, a lot of underage drinking going on. But here's a young lady being talked about on the news who did not get a ticket because of something that happened with the cop.
Cell phone video shot during Chili Fest has gone viral and landed three law enforcement officers in some trouble.
Burleson County Precinct 2 Constable Dennis Goss says three officers at the music festival in Snook gave an underage drinker the chance to get out of a ticket by winning a game of rock, paper, scissors.
Yes! Oh, yes! No. If everything ran on rock, paper, scissors, this would be a great country.
So would that be cool with you, Kevin, if you got pulled over and the cop said, all right, I'm going to give you a ticket, but I'm going to give you a chance to get out of it by playing some rock, paper, scissors?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I don't know what the – I don't know. I mean, how did the officer even think of this?
I don't know.
How does that even come up that I might not give you a ticket if you beat me at this game?
I don't know. That's bizarre. He must have been doing it before.
He
must have been doing it before and just sort of never got it reported or something. He's that type of guy. You don't just go, you know what, rock, paper, scissors. Just came to me. I don't know why. Out of the blue. Let's do
it. Well, I mean, whatever it was, he did it. He had to do it for a first time. And I'm just trying to figure out how that came to his mind. All right, let's hear more.
Now, Goss says the officers will not be allowed to work security at Chili Fest anymore. He wouldn't say what departments the three officers work for. Now, Goss said he had hired officers from nearly 60 agencies to work security at that event. They issued 113 citations, and according to the Burleson County Sheriff's Office, 44 people were arrested this weekend.
So are 44 people bad at rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah.
Is that what happened there?
They need to step their game up.
The police chief said, I've seen the video. I can only say that it's unacceptable and unprofessional conduct by these officers. Officers are given the choice of giving a warning or issuing a citation for any violation they encounter during this event. Playing a game to see if a citation or warning is given does not fall under professional conduct. All officers are instructed during orientation to present a professional appearance and attitude. I don't know. That officer seems pretty cool to me.
I like that officer.
He's pretty chill.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
But that festival's already over.
Yeah, this was last weekend.
So I don't know exactly.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, like, where is there?
You can keep your eyes peeled for next year's Chili Fest, I guess.
David? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
yes, go to Snook, Texas, David.
Just go down
seriously,
there.
Drive there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and where do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
Probably.
I doubt there's even a Marriott in Snook, Texas.
Major fan of K-Rock. I'd love to, introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And they're not playing. Just because it's the Chili Festival doesn't mean that the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing. We have so much to explain to you. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Do you want me to describe my perfect penis?
Yes. Oh, is that not an option? Dr. Drew's on the program today. We're going to talk to him about boner patrol, which we'll have to explain in depth, no?
No, we're not. We're going to talk about spring break
all right.
instead.
Yeah. Yes. Penis. Diplo's going to be in studio.
Yes.
Okay, good. Major Lazer animation domination. Some television for you to watch. Jim Norton, comedian, will be in the studio. Very excited about that. We have tickets to watch the Clippers in the playoffs, or as Dave the King of Mexico says, Clappers.
Is that gonna be painful for you, Kevin, to be talking about the Clippers in the playoffs for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I can't remember the last time the Lakers and the Kings, neither team were in the playoffs. That's
right.
It's hurtful.
May have been recent, but I can't remember it, and it's just not fun. And you see all the promos, and you go, oh, everyone else having a good time. Sure wish I was. We have tickets for Coachella as well coming up this morning. And Beer Mug almost died in Vegas. And why not? Why didn't he? So we'll get to that this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Randy loves that song. That's Randy's favorite song.
That's right. That was it.
That was Randy's song right there. Morning,
hey, Ralph,
Randy.
You're a doctor.
Yes.
Look at Allie's eye for me.
Yeah, she's honked up.
She's going down, right?
That's what we in the medical profession call. She has honked up eyes.
Wow.
Okay. Nice. Will she live?
Well, it's not pink eye. I've seen pink eye.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
Being the father of a 5-year-old, you see a ton of that around the nursery school. Is that what they call it? Preschool?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Whatever. I don't know anything about my child. So it doesn't look like that because usually there's a bunch of swelling in the pink part of the eye, in the corners and underside of the eye is a bunch of swelling. I don't see any swelling there. I just see discoloration and looks like red eyes, tired eyes.
Did she get in a fight?
Allergy eyes. I don't know.
Think she had to defend herself last night?
I don't know. It looked like That's what it looks like.
Wow.
It's like,
okay, all right. I am glad no one can see what you just did. You sick man.
I'm just saying, it looks like next time keep your eyes closed. That's what I'm saying. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like to me, but what do I know? I know more about that than I know about Pink Eye, quite frankly.
That's true.
So take my word on this one.
Questions about Ali's personal life, I guess.
No, ever.
All right, time for the first look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
You know what's going on? We were right. That's what's going on.
Since when?
Since yesterday, when we all watched that viral video of Dennis Quaid's supposed meltdown on
the
set.
It's a fake.
It was all actually a fake from the Funny or Die website, which released the full video of his freak out, which reveals that all of his insults were staged and then later edited together. It was all a fake little comedy video.
And not that funny either, by the way.
No, not at all. And it really kind of proves what I've suspected for a long, long time. Dennis Quaid isn't that good of an actor.
Mm. Couldn't pull it off?
As I was watching that video, I was like, he sure seems like he's acting here. And this guy comes in here and talks to you, and I am trying to be an actor here. That's when I knew something was up. So we suspected as much. Boom.
Boom.
Drop the mic.
So you're telling me that we can't trust the internet now?
You know what you can trust the internet for?
What?
Boobies! Looks like nude photos of Charlotte McKinney have made their way to the interwebs.
Yeah!
Yeah. They were supposedly leaked online.
Leaked.
Leaked. But no one can find the leak. And some people are suspecting she may have done it for a little free pub.
Boobies!
She's a pretty girl. Who apparently now is in a relationship with Brad Dorf. No, Stephen Dorf. I have no idea who Brad Dorf is. He must be Stephen's cousin. But Stephen Dorf. Remember Stephen Dorf? Actor? From Blade?
Vaguely.
A bunch of movies and stuff and everything.
Dated Pam Anderson?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
Most recently, you probably saw him in commercials for e-cigarettes. Blue. He was the Blue spokesman for a while.
Okay.
Any of this ringing a bell, Brett?
Not much.
Stephen Dorff.
Sort of. Was he in, Ralph, I don't know why I'm thinking of this movie. Was he in Backbeat by any chance?
He was in Backbeat.
One of his films? That's where I remember him from, I think.
Yes. And, of course, he had that long-running popular video series, Dorf on Golf.
Nope.
I've seen that.
Nope.
He was standing on his knees and pretending
nope.
to be
that was just a Tim Conway character. Nothing
very
to do with
popular.
It wasn't him.
Dorf on Golf, so... Yeah, so if you want to see Charlotte McKinney naked, they're available on your website.
I mean,
it's not for me, but...
It's a matter of degrees. From what we've seen already about Charlotte McKinney to now, it's just a matter of degrees, really. It's just a little bit of a new
degree. You want to see nips? You're going to have to give. No bills, no thrills.
These are like the hottest I've ever seen. Whoa. Check them out.
All right.
Whoa. Okay, I knew she had a hot rack.
All
sure okay, does.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Those are so hot. Oh,
okay.
Oh, man, they're big. They're huge.
We're good. We're all good. You know where you won't be seeing Charlotte McKinney's nude photos? On the ultra-Orthodox Jewish websites.
Ultra-Orthodox Jewish websites.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they will edit out any woman who's remotely sexual from their websites, we're finding out. It's in the news because there was a photo taken of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian and Jerusalem Mayor near Barkat. And the editor of a site called Kikar HaShabbat edited Kim Kardashian out of the photograph. Just airbrushed her right out.
And not Kanye?
And not Kanye. I know.
What?
If you got a chance to take them both out, don't
right.
you? Here's their reasoning. She is a pornographic symbol who contradicts ultra-Orthodox values. This news website has a long history of editing women out of their magazine, especially the sexy women, like German Chancellor Angela Merkel was removed from a photo in January, and Hillary Clinton was photoshopped out of the photo of the U.S. leaders watching the Osama bin Laden raid. Took her out of the meeting room there.
I thought you said sexy.
Ah, come on. Who's sexier than Angela Merkel or Hillary Clinton?
They just felt like
it's insulting to them because a woman and man who aren't husband and wife are that close together in proximity.
Right.
Huh, there's been a new phenomenon on airlines now where Orthodox Jews get into the plane and look at their seat and there's a woman sitting next to them and they refuse to sit down and they make the woman move because they can't sit next to a woman who's not their wives.
Wow.
To which I say, here's a parachute.
That's a bummer.
It's ridiculous. Look, I love America, and I love one of the things we have here is the freedom to express your religion in any way you see fit. But once you start impinging on the rights of other people, and they have to move to accommodate your religious issues, that's some BS, right?
USA!
Right?
USA!
Thank you.
USA!
Right.
USA!
Thank you,
USA!
Random crowd that we keep hanging around the studio just for that reason.
And I also feel like that organization just would not be crazy about the Charlotte McKinney pictures, too. You know, like you said, you're not going to see them. I mean,
that's why I won't see them. So
they're standing in the way of maybe the best news of the whole day.
There you go.
They're trying to rain on.
One more homepage for them. Make a note.
Kevin's going to remove them. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, April 16th. Here's one for Pink Eye. Here's one for you, Pinky.
Billy boy.
Patriots coach Bill Belichick celebrates his 63rd birthday today.
Okay.
Yeah, just you.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Voice actor Billy West, he's a legend, 63 as well. Actor, I'm sure Dave meant to write Martin Lawrence, not Martine Lawrence.
Maybe, does he have a sister that we're not aware of?
Maybe, or? I don't know. Hmm. Martin Lawrence is 50 years old, as is my buddy John Cryer. John Cryer is 50 years old today. He is ageless.
Yeah.
He was on the James Corden Late Late Show the other night, revisiting his ducky dance, and he put on a ducky wig and put on the same clothes, and he looked like he just stepped off the set of Pretty in Pink. It was nuts.
Yeah, some kind of deal with the devil.
I'm going to slap him when I see him next time.
You're going to see him Tuesday.
I'm going to slap him then on Tuesday. Oh, John Cryer, you got it coming. Peter Billingsley. Remember the little Ralphie from Christmas Story? Grew up to be a big-time director-producer guy.
Sure.
44 years old. Akon is 42, and actor Lucas Haas, who was the little kid in Witness, and now is all grown up and a talented actor in his own right. 39 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know it's tough for you, Kevin, to get used to the Clippers being good and the Lakers being so bad. The Lakers, by the way, lost 8 out of their last 9 games. But did they start losing in time to help them for the draft for next year?
Well, I don't think they're the worst, if that's what you're asking, unfortunately.
Yeah, did they win just enough games to F them for next season,
too? I think maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird to have the Lakers not be in the playoffs and the Clippers be in the playoffs. It has happened a couple times in recent years, but
yeah. The Clippers are on a hot streak right now. They're playing great. They've won 7 games in a row, and they are going into round one of the playoffs against the San Antonio Spurs. We've got tickets if you want to see NBA playoff basketball at the Staples Center this Sunday night. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn them. We'll give you a chance to play a game and win your way in to see the Los Angeles Clippers as they take on the Spurs. So call now. Good luck from K-Rock.
Let's talk about this 2-year-old DJ that's taking the world by storm from South Africa. 2-year-old. He's 2.
Yeah.
What kinds of things? Help me out here, Kevin. You've raised children. What kinds of things can kids generally do at 2? I mean, these days, he was working on an iPad at 1. So, I mean, I think the technology comes very naturally to kids who grow up with it from practically their time they're born. But, I mean, could your kids have, manipulated apps and done things on a computer at 2 years old?
Manipulating apps, I don't know what's involved. Like, in this particular story, this little kid was working with his dad's mixing equipment. So he can just change it or whatever to make it sound good. And then everybody's like, oh, this kid knows what he's doing.
Well, his name is Oratilwe Helangwanae, which must be close, I think. He is 2 years old. He's in South Africa. He goes by DJ AJ, and apparently he does appearances where crowds gather around him. He bops his head to the beat. He's wearing headphones. He's, mixing. He's on the ones and twos, and he's just becoming a sensation, just a viral sensation, not only in South Africa now, but around the world. I mean, he goes out and plays for crowds right now at 2.
We have Diplo later today. This kid we have on now.
That's right.
Does that tell you?
What? DJ AJ, opening for Diplo on the Kevin DeBeach Show today. What's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, DJ AJ in the house.
So you're 2 and you're DJing. Do you love it?
I love DJing. It's the best thing I ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And I am in the house.
Hey,
DJ AJ, where are all the white toddler girls at?
And you are still at 2 years old, DJ. You are still in diapers, right?
Yeah, silly diapers. You know, the party don't stop till the diapers drop.
Right, that's what I heard. That's what
now, I read the story that you're making.
Yeah, DJ AJ.
Right. Right. I read the story that you're making appearances at malls.
Yeah, I go out to the malls, and everyone is very happy to see me.
Uh-huh. And do you pick your own music, or does your dad help you with that, or how does that work?
No, I pick all my own jams, bitches.
AJ, are you doing this on your own, or is your dad kind of pushing you into this, or do you really, truly love to DJ?
No, I have discovered I have a talent for this, and I love it so much to do it. Plus, I get all the bitches.
I've never really heard another two-year-old that's interested in getting all the bitches.
I love the bitches.
Okay.
I'm going to put out an album of all the crazy jams and mixes that I do.
Oh, you're going to put out an album? That's awesome.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, like this one. I'm a little teapot.
Wow. I think he's onto something here.
Yeah, man! Drink that tea, you bitches!
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Drink that tea! Put some vodka in it, bitches!
A lot of use of the word bitches from a two-year-old. I'm vaguely uncomfortable with this, DJ AJ.
Oh, bitches is their name-o! There was a farmer and a dog.
You really do have skills.
I got mad skills.
Yeah, I think you're onto something here. I think there's a lot of people would love to buy some hip-hop kids music, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
See you later, bitches.
Playoff tickets for the NBA Round 1. This is going to be awesome, you guys. Los Angeles Clippers welcoming the San Antonio Spurs to Staples Center Sunday night at 7:30. LAClippers.com. You can win those tickets right now with a little game we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall. That's the game that we play. If you want tickets to the Clippers in the playoffs, oh yeah! Total Recall, Clippers playoff tickets, that's what you will win. All you have to do is recall, oh yeah!
Hi Kevin, we have contestants on the line. You want to explain how this one works?
You're going to give them a category. They have 10 seconds to name five things. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right.
Why, were you worried you forgot how the game
was
played?
Sure did.
Okay. 10 seconds. You have to come up with five items in a category. It sounds easy, but it's not when the clock is ticking. Who's our first contestant, please?
We have Dennis in North Hollywood. Hi, Dennis.
Hi,
Dennis. You ever heard Total Recall before?
Yes, I have.
All right. Well, good luck. Remember, 10 seconds, and just do the best you can coming up with five items in a category. Here's your category. We're talking about the Los Angeles Clippers. Of course, you think Clippers. You think basketball. In 10 seconds, I want you to name for me five other balls that are used in sports or to play games with. Five other balls that are used for sports or games. Good luck.
Football, baseball, soccer, tennis, golf.
Look at that. Wow, pretty easy, right?
Done. He did it in like 4 seconds.
Yeah, that was very impressive. Yeah, all right, congratulations. You are in the drawing. You are one step closer to winning Clippers tickets. Good luck.
All right, let's go to Joe in Tahunga. Hi there.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, Joe. We're here. You hear us okay?
Yes, sir.
10 seconds, looking for five items. The Clippers were for a long time owned by a man named Donald Sterling. Of course, he was forced to sell the team a couple of years ago for making unseemly remarks about Magic Johnson and others. Speaking of Sterling, can you name for me five items in 10 seconds that are commonly made of silver? Silver items. Good luck.
Silver items. You have rings. You have cars that are made of silver, jewelry, necklaces, earrings.
Yeah, you're starting to get on the right track, but yeah, spoons and forks and knives and candlesticks and teapots, chains, coins, a lot of things. Nice try. Thanks for playing, though.
Yeah, that 10 seconds is a killer. You don't have any time to consider anything except to throw whatever.
If you've got a minute, these are all easy.
Right.
But 10 seconds does make it tougher.
All right. Let's say good morning to Mariko in Mara Vista. Hi there.
I'm in love with the Clip Show.
Fantastic. Well, I hope you qualify to win the tickets. As you know, your Los Angeles Clippers have played in Los Angeles since 1984. Now, listen up. I want you to name for me five other cities that have NBA teams that are all west of the Mississippi. Five other cities with NBA franchises that are west of the Mississippi. Good luck.
Sacramento, San Antonio, Houston, Golden State Warriors.
Not a city?
Yeah, not Texas.
Texas, he said.
Yeah, you were close. You were looking for Oakland. You could have come up with Denver or Oklahoma City. Of course, the Los Angeles Lakers, Phoenix, Portland. There's a lot of them there. You came close. Not so much, though. Thanks for playing.
Thank you. Let's go to Sherwin. I hear that name every day. Sherwin in Walnut. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Sherwin. How you been doing listening on hold so far?
I'm sorry?
I said, how have you been doing playing the game along with the other contestants while you've been on hold?
I've been doing all right in my head. Hopefully I do good.
All right. So far, by the way, only Dennis is in the drawing here. All right.
Not much of a drawing, if I can say so myself.
All right. After Donald Sterling, the team was bought by Microsoft billionaire Steve Ballmer, and he has been doing a fantastic job with them so far. Everybody seems to love Mr. Ballmer. Speaking of Microsoft, in 10 seconds, could you, for me, please name five other things that are soft? Five soft things in 10 seconds. Good luck.
Pillows, feathers. A blanket, clothes, and a balloon.
Are we going to accept a balloon, you guys?
I mean,
yeah, when it's deflated, yeah, it's soft.
All right, a balloon, it is. Congratulations. Right. Yeah, I had on my list cotton balls and snow and marshmallows and bunnies, and there's a lot of things that are soft, and you came up with five of them. You are in the drawing, sir. Well done.
We would have accepted Bean's penis as well.
How dare you?
Jesus in Linwood, hi.
Hello.
All right, Jesus, listen up. 10 seconds. Five items. The Clippers, of course, play at Staples Center, the arena that is named for its sponsor, the office supply store Staples. In 10 seconds, name for me five things that are on sale this week at Staples, according to their weekly ad. Five things on sale at Staples right now. Go.
Notebooks. Staplers, folders, and paper.
Look at that.
Nice, Jesus.
That was really impressive, dude. It's unbelievable. I think everything's on sale at Staples. I looked at their ad yesterday, and it's everything from flash drives to tables to software to signs to toner to printers. It's incredible. All right,
question. I was thinking, how is Jesus supposed to know if he hasn't done research on the sale that's going on at Office Depot?
Because if you've been to Staples, man, you know they sell everything.
Right?
Sell it cheap. All right, we have time for one more?
Sure. We have Usbaldo.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Am I saying that right?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Right. How do you spell that? How do you spell Usbaldo?
Usbaldo.
Just like it sounds. What kind of name is that?
Mexican.
Russian. Okay.
Nope.
All
Mexican.
Right.
You said Mexican.
Yeah.
Mexican.
Thank you. How are you?
You're welcome.
Mexican even makes I don't speak Spanish. Sorry. All right. Listen up. You're our final contestant trying to get in the drawing to win Clippers tickets for this Sunday against the San Antonio Spurs. One of the Los Angeles Clippers superstars is, of course, number three, Chris Paul. For me, I want you to name in 10 seconds five other famous people with either the first or last name of Paul. Good luck.
Paul George, Paul Walker, Paul Williams, Paul Rubio.
So close. And in a million years, I never would have guessed you as a guy to come up with Paul Williams. That was pretty impressive.
Well, that's from Daft Punk, though, right?
Daft Punk.
Okay, all right. They have a song that he sings on. I don't know.
Oh, Paul Williams is on the Daft Punk album. Yeah, good pull, Kevin.
I figured you knew it from.
There's Paul Giamatti and Paul Rubens and Paul McCartney and Paul Newman and lots of other Pauls, but you came close, but not in the drawing. So thank you. So do we have two contestants in the drawing, and we have two pairs of tickets.
Wait, don't we have three?
No, we have three people in the drawing.
Dennis,
oh, so we
got
to do a drawing.
Jesus.
Yes, but we have two winners, so only one person will lose.
Sad.
It's a lot of trouble, a lot of work to go through to not win this game.
That's rough.
All right. I am pulling these out of a hat. Jesus, you have one. And Dennis, you have one.
Yeah. Congratulations, Jesus.
Sorry, Sherwin.
That well done. Sucks. Congratulations, Dennis. Sherwin, thanks for playing the game.
Oh, yeah! Donald Rico.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Just gave away those Clippers playoff tickets. We still have for you tickets for weekend number two of Coachella that you can win later on this morning. Diplo stops by in the 8 o'clock hour. And next hour, our friend Jim Norton is back in town. He'll make his return to the Kevin Bean Show. Very funny guy. That's all straight ahead. Ralph, I'm glad you're here for the Showbiz Beat. And then right after the top of the hour, you're going to walk us through the night that was Beer Mug in Las Vegas.
Oh, freaking Beer Mug. You guys.
I can't wait to hear about it.
You guys, we'd spend time with your families and with old friends instead of hanging out with Beer Mug in Vegas. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, maybe a bad choice.
You don't know what you missed. Really? The magic, the majesty.
Can't wait.
I was close to physical harm.
Really?
I was close to physical harm. I was clenching my
you
fist.
You thought you might throw down with Mugs?
Yeah. Get out. Deal with you later.
Can't wait.
Speaking of things that are annoying, this is a cool investigation that has been done by Britain's Salford University. They have come up with what they believe are the top 10 list of the world's worst sounds. Sounds that bother people the most. That's one of
them. Is that number one?
Yes. I think Beer Mug's interviews are also on the list. But here's the list of what they believe are the top 10 worst sounds. This is according to acoustic experts who have studied the actual qualities of the sounds themselves. A million online voters who took that list of 34 different sounds and were asked what they believe were the worst. And so this is a combination of scientific research and also public opinion of what the 10 worst sounds are.
Can we guess?
Sure you can guess.
Nails on a chalkboard.
That's why we do this, to play our little guessing game.
Nails on a chalkboard.
That would be on my list, Kevin, but it's not on the top 10, according to Salford University. What the hell
was that? Oh, that was nails
Those are nails on a chalkboard.
Oh, was it? No, it didn't sound like that. You're like, usually I think of...
Yeah.
That's what I think of as nails on a chalkboard.
That's a terrible sound.
Chili. I got a chili.
Okay, so not in the top 10.
That's not in the top 10.
That a Reggaetron horn?
Yeah, the Reggaetron
thing.
He's my favorite Transformer.
Reggaetron.
The reggaeton, perhaps, is
that
what you're
one.
Looking for. Yeah, that.
That, yeah. I call it Tron.
Sure.
DJ AJ will not be happy with
no,
you.
No, case, not.
But not on the list.
Not on the list.
Yeah, we're going to be here a long time, I think.
How about like sirens, you know, police or ambulance sirens?
Nope.
How about dentist drilling?
Nope.
Come on!
How about babies?
Yes! A baby crying was eighth on the list, Allie. Eighth on the list, a baby crying.
Is that like six guesses to just get number eight?
That's pretty bad.
Now, that was eight. One baby crying was number eight. Multiple crying babies was number three.
That's a stupid list. So, same thing. So,
no, one baby crying is bad. A bunch of crying babies.
Real bad.
Real bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh, why are we not thinking? Are they the types of things that when we hear them, Ralph, we're going to go, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so they're reasonable items on the list here.
Yeah, I think so.
Is it as stupid as, like, screaming? Somebody screaming?
Argument. An argument.
Argument.
Ninth on the list. Hearing people argue was ninth on the list.
All right.
How about things like coughing or sneezing or clearing throats, anything like sniffling, anything like that?
Nothing noises like that. Okay. No.
Chip says car alarm.
Car alarm, not on the list.
Not on the list.
No. Let me just give you the list.
Our list
I'm
is
close
better.
To giving out, Your by list the way. Is better, yeah. Number 10, the hum of power lines.
What?
Huh. I never found it to be particularly annoying, but some people really hate it, apparently. Hum of power lines.
All right.
Nine, we mentioned, was arguing. Baby crying was eighth. The sound of a whoopee cushion or farting.
That's awesome.
That's on the top 10 list.
That's Come Kevin's on. Favorite noise. That's so funny. I always laugh at that in all the Paul Blart movies. That's seventh on the list. Someone misplaying a violin, playing the violin badly, screeching sounds of violin playing.
Yeah, I can see that.
That can be terrible.
Sixth on the list. Mechanical squeaking, as in a seesaw, some other hinge, squeaking hinge.
Just the dumbest list ever.
Listen, tell Salford University your problems.
I will. I'll let them know. But, cool. Kevin, you would be very annoyed if you had a swinging screen door or something like that on a bad hinge.
I guess.
You know?
Number three, you mentioned multiple crying babies. Number two, microphone feedback. Microphone feedback.
Yeah.
Electronic feedback.
That does hurt. Noise. That can hurt.
That's rough.
Yeah.
And the number one on the list of the world's worst sounds?
Reggaetron.
Not
fantastic. Beer Mug's voice.
No?
The Rodney Bingenheimer Show.
Oh, no.
No, no, I kid. Vomiting. The sound of vomiting.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
World's worst.
Yeah.
World's worst, according to Salford University in the UK and Professor Trevor Cox.
I mean, that's a sound that can make some people want to vomit just from hearing other people.
Yeah, the power of suggestion. Yeah, some people think that's bad.
Those kids didn't like it.
Those kids didn't care for it at all.
Not again.
Okay. Yeah, we're good. I think we're all good.
So gross. Who was that? It was
Got vomit!
No, we don't.
It was Marguerite. What show was that? You guys remember? It was like Wife's Swap.
Yes. Was that Wife's Swap?
I think. Yes.
That's the same woman as a.
I think so. Yeah.
Satan.
Yeah. You're the devil or whatever.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's beautiful.
Stone Temple Pilots were playing at the House of Blues in Los Angeles on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And when folks came out of that show, they were greeted with flyers comparing the current lineup of the band to Journey without Steve Perry, Queen without Freddie Mercury, and Van Halen without David Lee Roth.
Who has that kind of energy to go, hey, we're not happy with this lineup, so we're going to wait outside and print up flyers?
On the flip side of the flyer, an ad for Scott Weiland's new album, Blaster.
Scott Weiland is the answer. Scott
Weiland's got the time, apparently. Yeah. He's been unhappy with his former bandmates since they replaced him with Chester Bennington. And
it's pretty hard to go wrong with Chester, though.
Flyers were handed out at an STP gig in Seattle, so if this is apparently some part of the Scott Weiland marketing plan for his new album. So it's like the gloves are off.
How about that?
Fight is on.
I mean, he came out with that new album and no one cared.
No one paid attention.
You know, he's had an album out 2 or 3 weeks. Did you even hear about it, Kevin? He had a solo album out.
No.
I mean, he's hurting right now.
So now he's appealing to his old fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about the fact that Mamma Mia was leaving Broadway. Well, don't feel too bad, because now you can go to Mamma Mia the restaurant.
Do they sing songs to you?
Oh, yes, Kevin. Bjorn of ABBA is opening a Greek taverna in Stockholm, Sweden, that will have a singing wait staff along with actors and musicians interacting with the customers and singing and dancing ABBA tunes.
No!
How annoying will that be?
You
just go
to
in
eat?
To get something to eat. Like, hey, dancing queen, get away from me!
Put your food down, get up and dance, come on!
Of course, you probably wouldn't go there if you didn't like ABBA, but they're going to have an ABBA restaurant in Sweden where, of course, ABBA was born. So you got that going for you. Or not.
Yeah.
Would you go to a theme restaurant of any band? Would you go to a Rage Against the Machine cafe? the people singing in your face while you're eating your sandwich?
If they're playing the music,
no,
fine,
they're acting and singing and dancing around you.
No, I don't know.
You know, one of my gigs in Philly when I was a struggling actor.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
All right, I won't tell that story then. I guess no one's interested in my story.
It sounded like that was planned, but it was actually an accident.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to hear it, Ralph.
Me too.
What happened?
Tell us the story.
I was a singing and dancing waiter on a boat in the Delaware River that we used to do lunches and dinners.
Was that a nightmare?
I was a singing waiter. It was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
And what did you get? That kind of like people going, go away.
No, people showed up there expecting it because that's what it was known for. It was called the Spirit of Philadelphia, and it was a boat that went up and down the Delaware River, and it had a staff of young actors and singers and dancers, and we would wait tables, and then we would do solo numbers and a show with everybody, and people would. I mean, that's why they went on that, because that was part of the appeal. I guess.
Not interested.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
What kind of songs? Like show tunes?
Show tunes, and. We'd do solos, you know, whatever song you wanted, and then there'd be a show tune medley, and then often a patriotic medley as well.
Well, sure.
Sort of an up with people, God bless America kind of thing.
Is there any video of this anywhere?
I don't believe
that
there
would
is.
Be so awesome.
What was the one you did that brought down the house, Ralph?
Oh boy.
We come into America,
right?
Never,
no, there's an oldies song by a guy named Frankie Ford called Sea Cruise.
Okay,
I used to do that. That was my big song.
But you got to sing if you're on a sea cruise.
See,
right?
That's what was my point, Bean.
Well,
it all tied in together.
I understand the words are in it, but
yeah,
it doesn't make it a good song.
Let me take you on a sea cruise, ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby, won't you let me take you on a sea cruise?
Check, please.
Oh, shut up, lady. I'm trying to make a buck up here. Yeah, those are good times.
Things I did for love.
You're exhausting.
Yes, I am.
Said Ralph to Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Patriots coach Bill Belichick. Celebrates his 63rd birthday. It's like applauding for Darth Vader.
It is.
Sure is.
That's true. You have a Darth Vader ring on, too. You love evil on, up and down. Like, that's why your eyes are all ruined. Because of the evil that's inside of you.
It's true.
The evil inside of you is trying to leak out through your eyes.
The devil is in her
eyes. Your
eyes
look like Anakin when they take the helmet off at the end of...
Nobody watches
that movie. That movie.
No,
the good ones. The third good one with the teddy bears.
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, sure.
Yeah. When Darth is on his death and his grave, they take his helmet off. I mean, so Luke can see him for one last time.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever
said
to me.
Your eyes look like Anakin's before he dies.
Allie does pretty much live on the Death Star.
She does.
Thank you.
Voice actor Billy West is 63 years old today. Martin Lawrence turns 50. John Cryer is also 50 years old today, unbelievably. Peter Billingsley. Little Ralphie from A Christmas Story. Now he's all grown up, and he's a director and a producer. 44 years old today. Akon's 42. Actor Lucas Haas celebrates his 39th birthday. And our own Kat Corbett from K-Rock will be following us here on many of these stations.
It's just this one.
What?
Only this station.
We don't have any.
It's just K-Rock.
This is BS. Why am I here? I want to go back to singing on that boat in Philadelphia.
You enjoy that.
Ooh-wee, baby, won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome to Showbiz Beat.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
One of my very favorite radio personalities in the whole country. He's also done a TV talk show and an online show with Vice.com and New York Times bestselling author. The man does it all. Oh, and stand-up comedy, too. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Norton joins us in studio.
Hi, guys.
Kevin Green Show. Hey, Mr. Norton.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. It's always a pleasure to see you, sir. I dipped in and out a little bit of your marathon appearance with Joe Rogan on his podcast last night.
Yeah, Joe's awesome. It's weird. I went right from the airport to Rogan because I knew he stayed late to do me a favor because he's going to New York today.
Right.
And when you sit down with Joe, you're in for a 3-hour discussion.
Yes. At least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's never boring. It feels good.
100 topics, too, by the way. It's like watching ping pong or something, the way you guys go back and forth with. I mean, is there anything you didn't talk about last night?
No. I mean, wherever you want to go, he goes. He's really, like, conversationally, he's very weird. Like, Joe can talk about pot for an hour and then segue into freedom of speech and then just talk about, you know, hookers. You know, he's just awesome. And they're all things I like to discuss.
I have a hooker question for you,
sure.
Because I was dipping in and out while I was doing other things last night. And when I turned it on, you were talking about the apartment you lived in with the black mold, which looked like the grossest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
It's a miracle that you are alive today, living in that house for 3 years. And then he was trying to teach you how to breathe, and that went on for a while, and that was good radio. And then you started talking about hookers in Arizona. Now, I may have missed the beginning of the story, but did a hooker try to blackmail you, Jim?
No. What happened was I was joking about Warren Sapp because I was in Phoenix when that happened.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, during the Super Bowl.
Was that Super
Bowl?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I had done shows, and then I was coming home, and Warren got busted. So I was talking about prostitutes and how I didn't get one there. No, it wasn't a hooker who tried to blackmail me. It was this girl I was talking dirty with. This is a couple of years ago, just talking, and she didn't know who I was or I was a comedian. We had met through someone else, and she was like, well, I'm going to find out your email and send these screen caps to your coworker. I'm like, who cares? Like, everybody knows I'm a dirtbag.
Right.
No one would be shocked.
You should have sent her your book. Been like too late.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe you could send it to Simon and Schuster. Could you screen cap it and send it to them? There's nothing I'm embarrassed about with that. But it is funny. Like sometimes I got to thank God that I am who I am and I talk the way I talk because it's almost you become unblackmailable because I don't care if you tell people. Everyone knows I'm dirty.
You tell people.
I tell people.
So
sure.
What difference does it make if somebody else does?
Yeah. Feel free to chime in. Feel free to share it as well.
I'm sure that being a stand-up comedian who is very real about his emotions and about his life, I'm sure that contributed a lot. But you are so much more open than almost anybody else is willing to be. How did you get to that point where you honestly don't seem to care what anybody thinks about you and can't be embarrassed?
Well, you know, it's funny because I do to a certain degree. And you could embarrass me, but not with the normal Achilles heel stuff. Like, but I have my moments, but it's just not the typical like sexual stuff. And when I started doing stand-up in, like, 1990, I noticed that the other comedians laugh more at the personal stuff or at the stuff you talk about that other guys weren't talking about. So that kind of was like, okay, I want the other comedians to like me. And if they laugh, it's like a vampire biting another vampire. It's just a bigger high. So I kind of went down that road. And when Opie and Anthony first got kicked off the radio in 2002, I was up in Montreal, did a show called Confessing It, which was done by a guy named Jeff, a friend of mine, who is he produced a tough crowd. He booked it. And you had to tell a story you'd never told on stage.
Okay.
And so I told a story about having sex with a transsexual, and I had about some unprotected in a parking lot in Jersey City.
That sounds like the worst sex ever.
Well, for her it was. I'm sure for me it was.
For you it was fine.
Yeah, for me it was quite a delight. And I told another story from my childhood about me and my little friends who would when I was a kid, you explore with your little friends, and they were just other little boys and myself, doing what you're doing under a porch. We played a game called Monster Rain, which is where we would just take care of each other and yell Monster Rain because we didn't want to acknowledge what we were doing, so we pretended we were hiding from Monster Rain. So I told those stories and became bits in my act, but I realized that people responded to that type of honesty. So that was about 12 years ago. I got really into that stuff, talking about it. But it just felt good to get it out because, if you're ashamed of it and you're embarrassed about it, it's going to kill you, and it just
that was
going to
be part two of my question is: do you feel that that has contributed in a good way toward better mental health for you to be able to express all of those things that you might otherwise be spending a lot of time privately obsessing over?
I think so, because I told Joe last night too. Like I'm a few days in. Like I'm trying not to be dirty anymore. Like, not as a person, like, comedically, but like the dirty texting and the obsessive on the computer, it's just eats away at your soul. There's nothing else but that. So I'm trying to like just,
how many days in
now? Today's day five.
Day five. Okay.
And I'm not going to be perfect with it, but I mean, just the obsession, the constant, like, getting to LA was a bad place for me. I was a dirty boy when I got to LA, man. And so this is the, like, last night I watched a little bit of Fargo and I went to bed, like normal. You gotta get up to Kevin and Bean, like, just be a normal person. So I'm trying that because I want to see, like, what happens when I don't do that stuff for a while, because it becomes obsessive and all-consuming.
Do you have an end date to the...
No, I want to see how it feels for a little while.
Okay. Right.
I don't know if I should or not. Like, how long do you go with it? I don't know. I got to see how it feels. And
How does it feel so far?
It's weird. Like, I feel like when you get off a plane, any smoker knows, I quit smoking years ago, that feeling you get when you get out at LAX and you want a cigarette, that first drag of a cigarette, that beautiful, that high feeling you get, I keep thinking that's what's going to happen if I act out. Like, I want it so bad. I want it so bad. But I know, like, it's when I quit smoking, Colin Quinn said something to me. He said, the urge to smoke will pass whether you smoke or not. And that to me was such a revelation. Like, whether or not you give into it, it's going to go. So I kept saying, this will pass whether you – so that's the same way I'm looking at it now. Like, whether you make this phone call or not. So I didn't bring my dirty computer with me. It's the first time in my life I have a computer that's completely clean on the road.
You have a specifically dirty computer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All dirt?
For me, it was always one laptop that I could never open without, like, it being on an angle in case I needed to shut it really quick. That one laptop, you don't know how many times I've closed that with my one clean finger. So now it's like, it's nice to have a nice clean laptop, a work laptop that I have nothing dirty on whatsoever.
Hey, anybody want to see my laptop?
I can open it in front of everybody. Mom, Dad, gather around. Go ahead, look at my search history.
This is the voice of our friend Jim Norton here at the Kevin Beach Show. In a minute, we'll be talking about his new Epics special, which debuts next week. Jim, are you still struggling? Are you still having a fight about how much to masturbate with yourself?
You know, I haven't in the last few days. That's the thing. Like, that's a very tremendous struggle because that's so addictive.
You haven't fought it, or you haven't done it?
I haven't done it in today's day five, and that I'm sure I'll do again. I mean,
Allie, do you want to back away at this point?
No, I think he's doing fine.
Okay,
he's
all right.
Doing fine. Yeah, bless my eye.
Just checking it. Yeah.
Yeah, she has like a little, people can't see. She put up like a little windshield in front of her, which is kind of smart.
But why do you feel like that would harm you if you were to do that? I mean, you know that that's healthy and that's normal and that's okay and you're allowed and
sure to do it like
legal
a normal person.
All those things.
Like you guys, when you do it, you probably do it like, okay, I'm going to put a few minutes aside and just, as they say, just kind of, as Opie would always say, get the poison out. Like just get that, like clear the mind a little bit.
Right.
But for me, it becomes this obsessive thing that you do, and it's almost like you're about to drink and you put the drink to your lips, and just as you're about to drink it, you put it down. Like, I don't let myself go to where you're supposed to go.
We know that.
I'm an edger. So what happens is that, like, plays with, like, your biorhythms, your breathing. I realize I'm holding my breath. I'm like, I'm getting close, and I'm stopping. And I'm like, no wonder I can't breathe properly. I'm messing with myself all day. And yeah. there's a lot of perverts out there that know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, all you, a lot of you driving to your work, what is this guy talking about? But half of you understand, like, oh, my God, I do that. And hours are wasted. Hours.
So it's a slippery slope.
Oh, yeah. Nice. And floor.
Yes. Okay. Well played. Okay.
There's no doubt that you are going to somehow die, and it's going to involve masturbation, right? You when know, they find your body, that's going to be the story.
It's what I'm trying to avoid. You're not wrong. Okay. But I'm trying to avoid that just for the sake of my family having to explain what happened. But it wouldn't surprise me if that's
but
how
for your fans, that would be the only way they'd want to see you go. That you would be a legend, Jim.
It really would. Like, the accolades I'm missing now, I'm eventually going to get when I'm found dead with my dumb pants around my ankles. and a video on Pornhub still going. And I'm like, oh, my God, he wasn't lying. He really does watch this stuff.
Jim Norton is here. We have to take a quick break, by the way. The special is called Contextually Inadequate. I can't believe I'm able to say those words either. Contextually Inadequate. It debuts on the Epics channel on Friday, a week from tomorrow. We'll talk more with Jim about that when we return right after this on Kevin. Comedian Jim Norton with us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. The new special is, again, on Epics, like the last one. This is called Contextually Inadequate, and it debuts everywhere next Friday, not just on the Epics channel, but on all their platforms, including online and on demand and on the app and the whole deal. Jim, what's great about this special?
You know, it's funny. It's like whenever you shoot something, like, you have to go out and promote it and go, like, oh, I just like this one a lot because I defend Anthony Cumia in it, of course, and I have a nice hunk on Bill Cosby, and it feels like a lot of stuff that I wanted to do and be done with, like, as far
how
as
do
material.
You, how do you approach Cosby in a way that you haven't already seen 1,000 other people do at this point?
To be honest with you, I haven't really watched anybody doing it, so I just go out and I just start talking about, you know, people defending him. I make fun of Felicia Rashad for defending him. I make fun of all the people doubting the women. You know, I just give my own point of view on it, and I talk about I bring it back to myself. That's how I always tie in my own stuff about, you know, what the pervert I am. I just try to tie in what they're doing with what I'm doing. Right. So I can make, I mean, not rapey stuff, but just the idea of being a dirtbag. I really didn't answer that question properly, but I don't know. What's that?
Are you friends with Hannibal?
Yeah, I like Hannibal a lot.
What's it been like for him to kind of be the focal point? Or are Bill Cosby fans so old that they don't have any way to get in touch with him? They don't understand how social media works, so he doesn't hear from them.
You know, I don't think that any of them would attack Hannibal anyway, just because it seemed like when that clip first went out, they were trying to sink Hannibal. Like, you know, comedian calls Cosby rapist. And then that one woman came out and went, yep, he is. And then but had those women not come out, everyone would be targeting Hannibal at how naughty he was to say that stuff.
Right.
So I don't think Cosby fans could have any beef with Hannibal, because by the time they realize they're mad at him, all these women are out. So Hannibal is so irrelevant as far as what Cosby really did. What are they going to say?
For those of you that don't know, he was doing stand-up, and he talked about Bill Cosby.
Yes, it was in Philadelphia,
I think. Oh, it was Philly, okay.
And somebody just taped it on their phone and released it. You know, he was like, Google Bill Cosby. Like, Hannibal gave you a pathway to prove that he was right.
Yeah.
And so everyone just did it. Like, all right, Google Cosby and rape. And that was why. Had he not said that, it might not have been as smooth for him. But, you know, I think he's fine with it. I mean, Hannibal is he's an odd bird, man. He's unflappable.
He's awesome.
He's great. Yeah, he's really
he's
a funny
so great on Broad City, too. Yeah. Are you able to, I don't know if you were a Bill Cosby fan or not at all, but are you able to enjoy comedians even if they're not good people off stage?
Yeah, most comics I know have demons. Cosby's a different one. I mean, to be a serial rapist is a little different than being a guy who had some incidents at home, or who went to jail for drunk driving, or who got into a fight because he was hot. Like Richard Pryor. Pryor's history, let's be honest, is not exactly one of delight. You know what
right.
I mean? I mean, there's been domestic violence issues. He's, you know, yelled and screamed at people. He's been an ass at times. He's yelled a lot of awful. But again, that's a volatile guy. And there's a difference between being a volatile guy and a guy who drugs people and has sex with them when they're asleep. So Cosby is one that I look at and go, like, that's a hard one to not.
Right. It's hard to keep that out of the equation when you're watching or listening.
Especially a family-oriented comedian. You know, yep. So how can people sit? How can people suspend disbelief so much with a live performer and go, wow, he really is a family guy, when 35 women or whatever are going, like, this guy, you know, drugged me and raped me. It's like a weird psychology. I don't know how people suspend that disbelief.
Speaking of comedians, you wrote a very powerful piece, I thought. Was it for Time magazine you wrote the piece about Trevor Noah?
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, for Time.com, yeah.
Time.com. It was really great, and it summed up a conversation we've had so many times on the air about how people insist on being offended. Like, they go out of their – there are things that legitimately and genuinely are hurtful and offensive to people. But a lot of times it seems like people are out there looking for something to be hurt and offended by. And you thought that was – you kind of tied that into the reaction of Trevor Noah once he was announced as the host of The Daily Show.
Yeah, it's, I think people get addicted to the feeling. It's almost like no one feels like anyone listens to us. We all feel like we're just yelling into a room and no one can hear us. But if we're offended for some reason, then people pay attention. Like, people have figured out that by going, hey, my feelings are hurt, that's what stops the party. And they go, oh, what?
Yeah.
Tell us about it. That's our way of getting attention. It's like when you're a little kid and you cry. That's a kid's way of getting attention. So for adults, all of us feel like we're just anonymous and no one cares about us. So when people hear us, it makes us feel important and like we've gotten something done and like we've mattered. And that's what people have gotten addicted to.
But I think the issue here is the companies stopping the partying saying, what? Like, people always complain. But now it seems like one person can get an entire giant business in trouble, and it just seems like that's the path to destruction, right?
Because people in the business, they should
care too much.
They care way too much because they should realize it passes. Like, you know, when you look at something that happened in 2 weeks, it's done. There's the next fake outrage. Like, look at ban Bossy, cancel Colbert, all this hashtag garbage. None of it means anything. It all passes. But the companies get frightened. They get a few calls. Like when Anthony got fired, Sirius got some calls from the Washington Post. Like, oh, my God. It's like, don't you guys realize something else is going to happen that the media goes on to? And then the calls stop. There's no real outrage from the consumer. People don't care. Like, if you say something rotten on your show, there's not anyone in their car going, I won't listen to Kevin and Bean anymore. No one is going to be offended by
That's because they're tweeting us that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I've destroyed everything I've ever touched.
Paneled it just right, which is to say, hey, we like Trevor Noah, and he's going to be the host of the show and deal with it, basically, right?
Absolutely. I thought they were smart to stand by him, and I respected them a lot because they were getting a lot of heat for a short period of time.
Right.
And they're like, nope, this is our guy, and he's really funny, and he's the guy for the gig. So it was smart, you know, because he really is. He's a very relevant comic.
We've been in meetings where people will say a sentence like, we want nobody to be offended. And that scares us to death because that's just not possible.
Not possible.
Well, to show you it's not possible, it's like no matter who's running for Republicans and Democrats, the vote is always 51-49, 48-52, whatever. It's always that close. Literally, if you say you're pro-guns, you've offended half the country.
Yeah,
I'm pro-choice. Half the country wants me to hang myself. There's no way to make everyone happy. You lose half the people just by stating an opinion, no matter what it is.
After what happened to your friend Anthony losing his job over something that wasn't even said on the radio and wasn't even said on satellite radio, by the way, just something that he tweeted, does that ever cross your mind when you tweet that the same thing could happen to you?
Oh, yeah. Eventually, I'll sink my own boat. I mean, absolutely. You try to be careful. My thing is always, can I justify what I said? Can I back it up? Can I? Louis C.K. gave me a nice compliment one time at the Comedy Cellar. He said, you're really good at explaining why you feel the way you feel, like in my act. Like, I try to explain why I take a point. So it's almost like even if you don't like it, at least I've given you the reason I kind of came to this conclusion.
Right.
So I try to think that way when I tweet. Like, can I back this up?
And all right, let's play that game because I got a tweet here that I want to hear what you would say. And you got hundreds of retweets and favorites on this one. And this is I just picked this one out kind of random from the last week because this is the kind of tweet that I could see somebody could blow out of proportion and try to make you pay for it. I hope the next time I see Flo the Progressive Girl, it's in an ISIS video.
Oh, I'd like to apologize for anybody I might have offended with that tweet.
Because that's an awesome tweet, but yes. I can see how somebody would say, Jim Norton, how could you do that? They're an actual terrorist organization. We're actually beheading real Americans.
Absolutely, and I would say thank you very much.
Unpatriotic and blah, blah, blah.
That was my point?
That was exactly my point. I would thank them for clarifying my position. Yes, I'm tired of seeing her, and I hope the next time I do, she's reading a statement in an orange jumpsuit. Yeah, I would clarify that. But that's such an over-the-top thing. The way you describe that is it's such a ridiculous scenario. No rational person could believe I mean it. No one thinks that Flo is going to be beheaded in a video. It's like it's not a possibility. If you said that about a certain reporter who was overseas, people go like, wow, that's a little close to home. But even that, it's like it's just a ridiculous, you know, to me that's
very
defensible.
But I felt that was the case with the Trevor Noah jokes, is he was obviously just making over-the-top crazy jokes. You know, he was kind of parodying people who really feel that way in some cases. And people still took him seriously.
You're correct. Yeah, people do. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. I think that people are being – they take the one thing. Like, it's funny, the anti-Semitism. They know he's kidding, but they're like, well, those are real stereotypes. So what? You know, black guys' genitals are stereotypes. Irish drinking is a stereotype. Jews run showbiz is a stereotype. There's a million stereotypes. But, you know, there's a lot of humor based in stereotypes. It doesn't mean that you're angrily reinforcing. To reinforce a stereotype through humor doesn't mean that you're standing on a soapbox, you know, like one of the black Israelites in Times Square and saying it for real.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there is humor in reinforcing something that you know is ridiculous and has been blown out of proportion.
Do you feel like at some point comedy clubs are going to be the last to fall for not being politically correct?
I don't know, man, because the club owners, I don't know. That's a good question. I never thought they'd go after live stand-ups, but they do. But there's enough live, you know, good luck telling Doug Stanhope not to say something.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? I mean, so there's a lot of guys who will never give in to that, and you can always go to your own club. And no, I think club owners, the money that comes in, because there's too many comedians that have already been controversial that have performed at clubs that never hurt business. It never hurt with Dice was performing or Kinison or any of the guys since then that have been controversial. So no, I don't think the clubs will be affected by it until it affects business.
Yeah.
Well, Jim is one of the best stand-ups out there, and you're
thank you.
We don't even have any live dates to sell this time. You're really just in town to talk about the Epic special, right?
Yes, and I'm actually really, really happy with this one, and you know, I hope people like it. And it's on Netflix in 3 months, and it's on Epics this next Friday.
A week from tomorrow, yeah.
Thank you guys so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Jim, it's always a pleasure, man. You're welcome anytime, sir. Have a great one.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Look at the room full of people. Yeah. Everybody's here for one reason.
The moral of the story is don't go to Vegas with Beer Mug. That's the moral of the story.
Do go to Vegas with
Everyone's got a story, but they all have the same moral.
That's true.
Which is
true.
Do not effing travel with Beer Mug.
Couldn't we have left Beer Mug back behind to be the, you know, the one person to run the Best Of show while we were all in Las Vegas for our ceremony?
I don't know what happened in the first place. I think Kevin just got drunk and invited everyone he knew to come to this thing.
It's my fault.
But I was part of a 5-person text at one point to make dinner plans, and I don't have Beer Mug's number, so I just saw a random number. And then I get there and I find Beer Mug's having dinner with me.
Right.
And I said, someone should have warned me that one of those numbers was Beer Mug's, or I never would have been here.
Now, I only saw Mugs at the ceremony on Tuesday, but you guys spent Monday afternoon and Monday night with him leading into the ceremony. So tell us what went wrong, Ralph.
Just a nightmare. Just a nightmare. First of all, Chip had to ride with him in the Uber car to the airport. Right? So that's awful. What was he doing in the Uber car, Chip?
We're in the car 5 seconds,
right?
And he starts asking the Uber guy all the questions.
Of course.
Hey, Mr. Uber guy, how is the insurance policy for these cars? Like, what happens if you get into an accident?
What are you paying on average, would you say, for gas per mile? And this poor bastard's going to drive this a-hole to the airport.
He was more than happy to...
Chip texted me that when Muggs was up to like his 80th question, they were 10 minutes in, and he was just firing him like the poor driver was on the witness stand.
Muggs learned a lot. I was ready for death.
The guy,
I just wanted an accident or just – I wanted my life to end.
But the guy was more than happy to accommodate all my questions.
Here's the thing about,
he wasn't. Yes, he was.
You always think that everyone is happy to talk to you. No one's happy to talk to you.
Here's the thing about Muggs is that he will talk to everybody, and he will talk to them for the rest of their life if they'll let him.
Right.
There's no ending point in Muggs's head.
No.
So the guy literally had to drop them off at LAX so that he could stay alive.
Yeah.
Okay, so then he gets to Vegas and what happens.
And he must have started drinking at, I don't know.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I mentioned, I get a text from Dave, the King of Mexico, when he gets in and said, I just got in. I'm hungry. Who wants to have dinner? And I see it's a 5-person text. And... Yeah, I see. I got Dave's number in my phone, so Dave comes up.
Right.
And then there's just a bunch of other random numbers. There's an 818 number, there's a 714 number. And I figure, well, it's all the family. It must be safe.
Everyone here's good.
I can go to dinner with these people. We're going to have a good time.
Right.
And I get to the restaurant, and who do I see but drunk-ass Beer Mug, just hammered, just faced.
What time was he hammered?
This is like 8 o'clock.
Okay, 8 o'clock.
Just hammered. And he's got some douchebag who I'd never even met before alongside.
Who's the douchebag?
I don't know. He looked exactly like Zach Galifianakis from Hangover.
Is that somebody you met in Vegas? Because that would happen with Muggs.
Oh, absolutely.
Bring whoever.
He's a high school acquaintance.
And he says in the text, I'm going to bring a friend, but he's quiet. Don't worry about it. Lie! Exact opposite. Big loudmouth a-hole.
Yeah.
Why did you sit at the dinner with us at Katsuya for the next hour and a half?
Why did you vouch for him?
Here's the truth.
If you know he's a loud, obnoxious a-hole.
I talked to him before we went down. I said, Tim, please don't. These are my coworkers. I work with them Monday through Friday. Please don't embarrass me.
That's not what it sounded like at all. You've been drinking since 3.
Yeah. I told him.
So Adam come work in the basin frame.
So he said, okay.
Tim didn't understand a word you said.
That was a problem, maybe. But yeah, that's why I said, oh, he'll be quiet.
If you have to warn someone that you're taking to dinner with your coworkers not to be an asshole, maybe that's not the guy to invite to dinner with your coworkers.
Yeah, that was 100% my fault.
We know
no,
that.
No, who's that? What it be?
Nobody's blaming Tim.
Right. You're the guy who brought him. I think it was Chip's fault that you brought a douchebag to the dinner.
Yesterday in the office, I said, Muggs, so when you vouched for your friend, it was just so he could come to dinner. You were lying, right? He goes, yeah, I was lying.
Yeah. This is the guy in the middle of every course of the meal. Cheers! Guy raising his glass with the sake cup every 4 minutes.
He was more obnoxious than I was.
Don't push it.
Let's not get
you guys with a dynamic duo of assholery.
All right, so you survived dinner, Ralph.
Right, and then I'm like, all right. Good luck, everybody. I'm telling the blackjack dealer who's going on break. I was like, I, you know what? Dinner was great. Now you're all on your own. I'm getting the hell out of here. So
and
that's
you went
when
off
I
and as we found out yesterday, you went off and made $800 playing in Las Vegas, which
right.
was great.
But poor Lightning got stuck with the bad end of money.
Lightning's here. What happened, Lightning?
Well, so we went. What was that giant Ferris wheel? We all
high roller.
The high roller, yeah. At the link, we continued to drink there. We got uh-huh. a what is that chip? Like all you can drink or something?
Yeah, open bar car.
Open bar car. So that was a bad idea because yes. Muggs is just powering them down.
This
right?
is after 2.5 bottles of sake at the sushi place. Now you're giving him free drinks at a merry-go-round.
Oh yeah, so he went through I think Muggs 4 or 5 drinks there.
I completed 3 by the time it made a full rotation.
The doors were open. He's like, I got time for just one more, and he's literally
pounding drinks.
He couldn't get it through the straw fast enough, so he throws the straw on the ground and just goes, go, 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 and it's down. Doors open, and we get out. So then we go and we see Amy, our old co-worker. She was in another hotel. So we go over there.
More drinks.
Listen to Bad Cover Band. So then I look at Muggs. He looks at me, and he's just so sauced. I mean, you can see the fuel meter in his eyeballs just tilted all the way into the red.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, let's go. We left Chip and the crew there, and he and I got in a taxi. And on the way back to our hotel, he's like, he just looked almost vomitous. Just, I need either food or something. So we're talking about eating potentially, and the guy, the driver says, oh, there's an IHOP right across the street from your hotel. I'll just drop you off there, and then you can walk across. It's a great idea. So we walk in there. We eat. He's okay. We leave IHOP.
Yeah.
And this is 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
And you got a block? You have to walk a block,
yeah,
right?
If that, like a block and a half, right? So we're going across the crosswalk into like almost kind of homeless couple, a man and a woman are walking the other way. And we're just going to pass them just so we don't get killed,
right?
No, not
with Muggs.
No, we cruise back. And as we pass, we hear really quietly, 420, 420, 420, 420.
No.
And we get about 10
Wait.
Steps past.
Muggs was saying it?
No.
Oh,
okay. The couple.
Okay.
The couple.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So we get about 10 steps past, and Muggs all of a sudden...
Oh, wait.
And he perked up a little bit,
yes.
didn't he?
It took 10 steps for 420 to register?
Yes. We're there at the other
He's
side
like,
of the
intersection. I didn't know it was that late. He's trying to check his watch.
We get to the side with the end of the crosswalk, and he's like, Light, do you have $20? I'm like, for what? He goes, you know, 420. And I said, what? I said, I'm not being party of this, but this would be funny. So I get out $20
That's
and I hand it
to
him,
to
right?
All right. Yeah.
And he goes running across the intersection, stumbling.
The hey, yeah. 420 guys!
Right? And he starts talking to him, and I think, oh, this will be fine. What's the worst case is they give him some crappy weed or something. And
or PCP.
Or
one or the other.
Who yeah. knows what. She puts his arm around him.
Yeah.
And they continue to walk down the block.
Okay.
And I think, okay, this maybe is not good. So I'm standing there. I thought, well, what do I do? How long do I wait before I go to join them to make sure he's okay? They keep walking. They're now down a city block and a half.
Okay.
They're like, I can almost not see them around the corner of the building. I think, this is bad.
We just crossed over the border of Good Vegas and the most seedy part of Vegas in town.
This is no joke. Like, he's far away from me. And I think, if they stick him with a knife, like, I don't
it's
know if I can reach
win.
Him.
It's worth the $20. Right?
Exactly.
The best $20 you've ever spent.
It's a great investment.
Now I'm getting nervous. And I thought, I'm going to be party to a crime or something. It's going to be bad. And then all of a sudden, he finally turns around, and his arms go up in the air like,
Goal!
Did it!
And
victory!
Then he just, and he does that chest up in the air, and he does, you know, Ralph, you know the stride. He's
With his big duck feet pointed up the direction.
And then he walks back, and he holds up this, like, quarter, you know, like, silver dollar-looking thing that's, you know, green, and shows it to me. He's like, let's do it. I said, I'm not doing anything. I said, what do you... And then he proceeds to tell me how he's going to use this said substance. And he says, you know, I'll just get an apple. It's healthy.
Because it's healthy.
Because it's healthy.
He said,
because
it's healthy.
Hold on. The best part was, Lightning forgot to say, when the lady had her arm around me, her boyfriend said, you cop? You cop? I was like, no. No, no, not at all. So I proceeded to pull out my CBS radio ID to prove to them.
What is wrong with you? No, I'm not a cop here. Look,
CBS Radio, as if that means anything to anyone.
Every instinct you have is terrible.
I like how he throws his arm up in victory at the end of a drug deal. He's like he's the most conspicuous drug consumer in Las Vegas.
Why? Because he insists on showing the person he's buying illegal drugs from his ID?
Yes. You're just wrong on every level.
You're a miracle. This wasn't a week. This wasn't a weekend. This was like 10 hours.
That's top to bottom, just bad everywhere.
So when are we going to Vegas again, guys?
Well, we're going at some point.
Yeah, but it'll be you and Tim won't be on the invite list.
Right. And it is 7:54. Diplo joins us live in studio right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
You guys going to throw down, Bean? You and Diplo going to throw down?
What do you mean? Why?
I don't know. There's that famous Taylor Swift butt comment, you know? Yeah.
Oh, I think everyone's moved past that now. I think it's a new day.
Not me. I loved that. I loved that story.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Yeah. Batman v Superman. Dawn of Justice is a movie that's going to be out.
Right.
And we haven't really seen much of it. We've seen a little tease of a photograph of Affleck as Batman. We've seen a little tease of some footage at Comic-Con that was bootlegged, and you could see it online just a little bit.
Right.
But now, finally, there's a big-time trailer that's going to be dropping, but you can only see it at select IMAX theaters around the country this Monday.
So you just have to go see whatever they're playing?
Well, no, you get passes for this event. It's going to be a 15-minute presentation with an introduction by Zack Snyder, the director, and some previously unseen footage of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
And that's the whole thing is 15 minutes?
Yep, right. 15 minutes.
You shouldn't have to go to a movie theater to see a 15-minute thing. They should just put it up online.
But how do you make it special in a world where everything's online?
That's true. Well,
you force people to go out of their way to have to get a small, finite group of people who are going to chance to see this.
Right. And then they post it the next day, and everyone's happy.
Yeah, I'm sure someone will grab a shot of it somehow. But if you're interested, you have to go to BatmanVSupermanDawnOfJustice.com/IMAX, and that will give you... the page where you can enter your location, and they'll tell you which IMAX theaters are available, and then that's where you get your passes from. And on Monday, if you're one of the lucky few, you'll be able to see this special teaser trailer for Batman v Superman on IMAX on the big screen. So I just want to give you a heads up if that's something you're interested in.
I'm very excited in that movie. Not as excited. I'm not going to go to an IMAX theater to see a trailer.
Yeah, me neither. I can wait.
You too. All right.
I can wait.
All right.
NBC has announced they are bringing back a TV show that they passed on last season.
Okay.
The network passed on the pilot of this show called Emerald City last season, but they have since figured out that they're running out of TV shows, I guess, so they've ordered 10 episodes for this season. It is the story of The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
But told in a brand new way. Dark. It's Extreme Oz. It's Wizard of Oz crossed with Oz.
I don't think anyone needs that.
Story of Dorothy Gale and her police dog, who after a tornado are transported to another world far away, a mystical land of competing kingdoms, lethal warriors, dark magic, and a bloody battle for supremacy.
Wait, did you say Toto was a police dog?
Yeah, it's a German Shepherd now.
Oh.
You're right.
That was a great noise.
Strange noise. Toto's now a canine police dog.
Chip, I need that.
Dorothy Gale will be battling
Wicked witches don't stay dead for long, and the young girl becomes a headstrong warrior who holds the fate of kingdoms in her hands. Let us. Emerald City.
I don't know anything about The Wizard of Oz, Ralph, but the Broadway show Wicked, they kind of made it a dark story, too, right? Like, that was their
angle
to kind of make
it
sort of scary. It
was a prequel. That was when Glenda the Good Witch and... What was the bad witch's name in that musical?
The bad witch?
The green one.
The green one? No, she's got a name. It's like...
Elphaba,
yeah.
Well done.
They know each other like at witch school or something, and then and then the wizard comes to town, and one of them goes to work for the wizard. It's a prequel, that's all. But it was light and frothy and fun.
So
and
this is
there were flying monkeys in it and stuff and everything. It was
no attack dog or anything.
There's no canine. Yeah. And bloody kingdom, murder, death. Everyone said coming this fall, so they saw the pilot last year and said, ugh, no, this isn't for us. And then they saw what they had currently airing on NBC and said, hey, where's that thing we saw last year? Remember
that thing that we passed on?
It looks so bad now in comparison.
Maybe we need it.
Yeah.
When you came in and said NBC was bringing something back they canceled, I was hoping it was Craig Robinson's show, which we've been hearing about, I feel like, for 3 years now and still hasn't made the schedule.
Craig Robinson's show is in production. It will be airing. He's got that show.
Oh, you think eventually it's going to get on the air?
Oh, I know it will. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The brothers Cullen, the guys who are responsible, buddies of mine, and they've shot it this season. They're good to go. They're ready to go.
Good. Good.
We're going to see that. Yeah.
All right.
But
it'll be on after Emerald City. The Tin Man cuts you open with an axe. Scarecrow deals you meth. The cowardly lion scared of you, so he shoots you with a gun.
Can't wait.
They should have you two in the promo sport.
What's wrong
that?
With everybody?
Can't
Stop
wait.
It. Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. This comes from Richard Mace. Seems like a nice guy. Congratulations to he and his wife. They're celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Met her at a Civic Center course in early 1984. We were married in October 1985. Like most brides, Richard said, she was not a very good cook at the beginning of our marriage, but through the years, she has learned to cook well. Now serves me delicious and nutritious meals. You might say, the meals she serves me now are hearty.
I couldn't even make it out.
No. It's that bad. It's
Take
that bad.
Two.
The meals she serves me now are hearty.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
You don't have to read them all.
The meals he serves me now are hearty. The meals he serves me now
are hearty. That's the end of it, though, right?
That's it. That's it.
I mean, that's really, that's like goodbye.
Come
right?
On, that was awesome.
That was a farewell parting shot.
Oh, that was awesome.
Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom, indeed.
You.
Here's me.
You're cool.
Thank you.
You, I'm out.
Talking to me. Said I was cool, that guy.
I don't think so.
See, the meals she served me now are hard.
No, we heard it.
Yeah. I don't think you heard it.
We heard
it.
No,
we did.
Well, we didn't hear it clearly, but we...
it was so funny, I could barely say it. That's how good it was. Yeah. Oh, look at my eyes. I'm like Allie McKay.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bill Belichick is 63 years old today. Yeah. That's the music that's played when he enters in the locker room.
That would be awesome, by the
done.
Way. That would be awesome.
Well done.
I find your lack of defense disturbing.
He says, like, the DBs and the... Billy West, voice actor extraordinaire, is 63 years old today. Martin Lawrence, we got to correct that. Martin Lawrence is 50 years old. John Cryer is 50 as well. Peter Billingsley, 44. Akon's 42. Lucas Haas is 39 years old. And our very own Kat Corbett of K-Rock celebrates her birthday today. There's no number after this birthday. I don't know why. 22.
22? Uh-huh, yeah.
Oof. She's got to get to see a doctor. No, something's wrong. Something's wrong with that girl. She's 22, looking like that. It's just she's got a syndrome.
Sounds great.
She grew up without mom. How dare you?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, this is Diplo, Major Lazer Crew. Express yourself, release and go. I'll take the flow, Diplo.
Bubble butt.
executive producer of Major Labor, DJ, musician, producer, record company president, I assume?
Yeah. CEO.
He is Diplo, and he joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show on the World Famous Carol. How are you, man?
I'm good. I've been here. Yeah, it was 2 years ago when I was with you guys.
That's right.
I know.
Before
Coachella
time 2 years ago. Yeah.
Major Lazer played then.
All right.
Bean
let's
did say Major Labor, but he didn't mean to.
I did a lot of Major Labor to get this record done, though.
I'm not good at my job, Diplo. Hey, let's talk about the most important thing that everybody wants to talk about, and that is Marnie the dog, who is stopping by here at K-Rock today. Our producer, Dave, who you know, is obsessed with Marnie the dog. And he has a T-shirt that he wears often of you with Marnie the dog.
I did meet Marnie the dog at the Grammys, actually, yeah.
Now, were you, like Dave, excited and, like, seeking out Marnie the dog? Or did someone just thrust this smelly
Marnie
piece of fur
the dog
in your...
was thrown at me, and she seemed really scared. And
right.
Honestly, she did smell pretty bad, but she was adorable. You look into her eyes, and everything just melts away, you know? You're just in love with the little dog.
So you were cool with it. And how do you feel about it being a T-shirt now?
I'm into any T-shirts that might have my face on it. So
okay.
It's cool.
All right. That's cool. Well, I mentioned badly how many things that you were involved in. How busy are you? Do you have days where you can do nothing or because of your various concerns? Are there a lot of things that need your pressing attention every single day?
Well, because your show is so early, there's nothing for me to do now until about 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
so
sorry about that.
Yeah, so that's the time I have. But, I mean, when you played that intro segment, I was like, whoa, this is the most random set of music, you know, that you ever put together. But I'm always working. I'm always busy. And I think that you have to stay busy while you're hot when you're people, you know, playing your music and you want to make it as much as you can.
You also need some downtime. Are you good at that or you're not good at that?
I had a little downtime about a week ago. I went to my mom's house in Florida.
For how long?
4 days.
4 days?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, that's
cool. That was the longest
downtime. That didn't seem like a month to you.
It was epic because I had spent a month in traveling every day on a flight around South America on tour, so it was like I needed a little break. So
I like cool. The
Brazil's
a
second home
off.
To you, right?
Yeah, I was in Brazil. We did about 4 or 5 shows there, and then Peru, everywhere. It was one of the most extensive tours I've done of South America. It was awesome. It's really cool.
What is South America like compared to North America or Europe? Or
well, I'll tell you what, rock and roll is still so alive. We were on tour with Kasabian and Bastille, Skrillex, and it just felt like it was Lollapalooza had their sessions there. It was felt
right.
Like really, it was like a rock and roll attitude. And everywhere we went was more of a rock and roll vibe. And the fans are just insane. Like,
yeah.
You know, they'll be waiting at the hotel at the airport from 5 in the morning till, and nobody cares about me in America. If I go somewhere, no one's there looking for me. But everywhere in South America, there'll be like 10 to 100 kids like at the hotel or wherever waiting for autographs.
What do you think when you see that? You go, I should stop by and say hi because there's 100 people here waiting for me. Or do you just, you're in a rush because you have a lot to do?
Well, at the airport, you got to run through. And sometimes it gets really hectic. You know, you want to like just get through the people. I mean, I'm like a nobody, but I imagine if it's like a real proper pop star rock, it must be dangerous almost, you know. But I try to stop and see everybody, you know. We were actually in Machu Picchu. Me and Skrillex did a couple of days and we went there. And there was kids in the tiny airport in Cuzco in Peru, like 50, because they knew we were on Snapchat, that we were around there.
50 of them.
So they were just like waiting at the airport, and it was like mayhem, because we had to rush to get to the plane, and we were just like, it was almost scary to like, try to get through all those kids at the airport.
I would guess now, Diplo, I'm strictly guessing here, that you're the exact right amount of famous right now, because you have a well-known name that you could use if you need to, but you're a little bit anonymous to the general public, but you're also ridiculously wealthy. So it seems like that's the 1-2, that's the 1-2-3 of how to do it.
Well, it's just safer, I think, to be able to be more anonymous, you know, because you don't want, I mean, celebrity culture in America is so insane, and it's so hard to get things done and weed through that and make great music and have people like listen to the music and be about the music. So I'm lucky.
Well, when
aspect.
You talk about celebrity culture, that is a fantastic way to lead into something I was really looking forward to talking to you about, and that is your work with Madonna recently.
Okay. Yeah.
First of all, great performance the other night on Fallon. That's my favorite song on the album, on the Rebel Heart 2, the Bitch I'm Madonna song.
Yeah.
You have been really kind of speaking up for her, and you feel like in some ways she's kind of gotten a raw deal lately. Tell me about that.
I mean, I think a lot of people want to just dismiss her music in general because it's Madonna, and you've seen it and heard it, and you know at this point, what does she have to offer as a creative person, because she's already had, you know, 30 years in music, and I think music culture is very young in a lot of ways. But when you see her and you work with her, you're like, she's still amazing. She's an amazing artist. And we did a lot of great records together. But I think some records like Ghost Town or whatever, if they were another artist record, they would a younger artist even, it would be a huge record.
It's so you think it actually her past is working against her?
In a way, it's just people just, I think a lot of people don't want to even listen to the records. They don't even want to give it a chance in a lot of ways. But I feel like the songs are so strong that people don't, I think people should give them a chance, you know?
I feel like I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like I see her and I go, well, she's...
It's Madonna already. Yeah. You already know...
How is she relevant?
How is she... Exactly.
And I assume that I know, but...
Exactly. But I think with a record like Bitch, I'm Madonna is really one of the ones that might even cut through because we're kind of taking her past and making something hyper aware of her. You know,
right.
I think we have to do that because a lot of times when you go in the studio with an artist that has a great history, it's like you almost... It's almost impossible to create something new. Rick Rubin did it great with someone like Johnny Cash. I mean, it's really hard to reinvent artists, but Madonna's been reinventing herself every album for 30 years. You know,
yeah.
She's always been cutting edge. She's always been crazy, but nowadays you have to be even crazier, and you have to be
now.
Even...
She's obviously aware of that. She's one of the smartest, most astute people in show business, yes. In any kind of business, actually. So, is part of the reason she would seek out somebody like you as a producer because she wants to make sure she's 2015 when she puts this record out?
I think initially, I think we linked together because her children are fans of mine, and she was curious about who I was. I had like a very funny persona on the internet, and some of the artists like Riff Raff I work with, she was like really into the culture. But then when I met her, I didn't expect to make music. I was just like, we'll do something, but I didn't think that we were gonna connect. But we had a really great chemistry, and she was really excited about what I was into, and I could tell. And when you work with someone like that, she's up so early, and she's working in the studio for longer than the people I my age. Like, she's so dedicated, and there's no time wasted. And it was a really, really hard learning curve to just see that the professionalism of artists at that magnitude. And I'm working with so many young kids who are just, they go to the studio like 1 a.m.
Right.
You're done at 5 or whatever. Seeing her be dedicated, it was eye-opening.
And you put Nicki on that record too, right?
Yeah, I think Nicki was... I've tried to get Nicki on so many songs I've done. She never would do anything. And then with Madonna, she showed up in the studio.
Oh, it's Madonna. You're going to say yes.
Yeah, honestly, she was there within like 24 hours, you know, in the studio. So.
Diplo is here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. We're going to be talking about his show that debuts tonight as part of Animation Domination on FXX. That is so awesome, by the way. The show is just called Major Lazer. We'll talk about that in a minute when we come back. But while we're on the topic of people that you're working with, I just have to ask, and maybe you can't say anything.
Please do.
What do you think I'm going to ask, Allie?
It's got to be Robert Plant.
It's got to be Robert Plant.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Because that's, talk about two great tastes that don't seem like they could possibly taste great together. What's up with that, Diplo?
Honestly, I was on tour with Robert Plant, too, during in South America, and we never did anything together. I just wrote that on my Instagram.
So you put collab soon,
because it seemed like it was so insane that no one would take it seriously, but now I'm actively going to look for him to do a collaboration.
Yes.
Well, you've seen how many records that he's done, particularly in the last 15 years with those kind of the Moroccan and Middle Eastern beats and things like that. I mean, there's no question he's got the groove.
Honestly, he would be down, I think. The reason I even approached him at the backstage is because he beat me for the Grammy Record of the Year 4 years ago. And I told him that was my only chance to get that award. And you and Alison Krauss ruined it for me. But I still want to get a photo with you anyway. So
I love that you're a young guy, though, and that you look at somebody like Robert Plant and appreciate that he's awesome. I love
he's
that about
so
him.
So awesome. And he just has such a he has such a good vibe. He didn't really know who I was, but he spent like a half hour talking to me about rant, whatever it was.
Oh, really?
You know, it was just so cool. I thought he was really...
Does he have a good sense of humor?
He doesn't seem like it.
He doesn't seem like it to me at all.
No, he doesn't. But his excitement about music in his eyes is still there. And I love that. It gives me faith in my future, you know?
Diplo is here. He's playing this weekend once again at the Encore Beach Club in Las Vegas, by the way, if you want to check that out. The new album is called Peace is the Mission, coming out on June 1st. And we'll talk all about the new TV show called Major Lazer when we return right after this on K-Rock. Diplo is with us here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. He is the co-creator and executive producer of a new TV show called Major Lazer. It debuts tonight as part of Animation Domination on FXX. In the entire history of television, Diplo, has there ever been a show set in Jamaica?
Man, I think there hasn't been. No. There's a cartoon there's like a little animated in England about these mice that live in Jamaica. It's for kids that I saw once.
Tell us about the show, Major Lazer, because it is, it's as honked up as everything else on FXX at night, but it's definitely got your spin on it.
Well, it's awesome. It feels like if you're a fan of 80s cartoons like the G.I. Joe and He-Man and stuff, it has this element of we even like painted the backgrounds to make it look like those old cartoons, and then it's art. Our kind of universe that we created around Major Lazer, this apocalyptic, you know, post modern weird world where there's like vampires and monsters, and there's also the bad guys, and there's other superheroes he has to battle, and it's still very funny, and the music runs throughout the series. We have, you know, 30 or 40 new songs we put in just to create for the show alone.
30 or 40 new songs?
Yeah. They're like huge.
That seems like a lot.
They're shorter ones, you know, like, because it's fun doing soundtrack work like this because you don't need to make the full record. You make a 30 seconds vignette, you know? It's awesome to do that.
How much of the music are you doing? Do you have a team that does Diplo-like music?
Well, the cues we kind of just spent. I have like a couple guys in, some horn players. Actually, some of the guys from No Doubt came by and the horn guys from there.
Really?
I just said, hey, let's do like 24 hours just playing whatever. And I spent a couple weeks cutting that. Ariel Rechscheid helped me with some of the music. He's a great producer. There's some guys in my studio that helped me work on the stuff, but it's very...
That's awesome.
It's intense.
The voice talent that you were able to corral for this show is unbelievable. I mean, talk about some of the people that are doing your voices.
One of the awesomest voices is J.K. Simmons, who just won the Golden Globe for Whiplash. He's the
and the Oscar,
and the Oscar.
Yeah. He's the main protagonist who's like Major Lazer's arch enemy.
Okay, how did that come about?
We started voice acting casting about 2 years ago, and he was one of the first guys we got. He has this awesome strong voice, but he also has such a great sense of humor because he's a comedian too. You won't know that if you watch Whiplash, but he's also very comical.
Yeah, he's not funny in Whiplash at all.
No, he's not funny. But we got him in really early, and then through my Rolodex, we just went through people like Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekend to Riff Raff to Andy Samberg.
By the way, no one was more surprised than Ezra when you called him to do a voice bit.
Well, Ezra, I've worked with him a lot. He sang on Major Lazer's last album. I'm in the studio sometimes with him and Ariel and the Vampire Weekend guys, and we come from the same attitude when we're mixing the music together. So weird, you know? And I love him, and I love his band. I love what they do. So he was really easy, and he has a great character, and he's so flat, and it was perfect for it, you know?
I'm going to let you say the name of the actor that plays Major Lazer, because we can never do it.
We just call him Mr. Echo.
Yeah, Adewale is kind of, I don't know how to say his last name, but Mr. Echo is
good. Adewale Akinoye Akbagaji. That's close. I think that's close. I don't think I got it, though.
Yeah, it's good. That was close enough.
He has one of the best voices of anyone who's ever lived, though.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
So he's Major Lazer, and he's fighting President Whitewall, played by J.K. Simmons. And and Major Lazer has a gun for an arm.
Exactly.
Where'd that come from, Diplo?
Well, we actually made the name up before I even made up the character. They were just two words that sounded good together, and I was like, oh, I'm stuck with this. So we kind of created a little story, a backstory, a history with this guy. It's sort of like this Rambo character, you know, this like sort of Jamaican Rambo who's been through a lot of stuff for. And his arm was cut off, and he has a laser for an arm now. And it sounds crazy and silly, but actually just developed everything around this character. And if you got to watch it to see it, because it's very funny. And the whole universe is detailed, and you can kind of understand it from the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah, the first episode is great. Kevin, I think we have a clip, right?
We do. This is Adewale, and then whatever his name is, on the show.
Benny, what are you doing out of school? You know how Major Lazer feel about education? It's important.
Look, I overheard my dad talking to General Rubbish. He said they found a way to slow down the resistance. To death.
You're naive, little girl. They'll never slow us down. When people have a free mind party together, the universe itself will be free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long have you been working on this project, the TV show?
Well, from development, it's been almost 4 years from the first idea we had for it. And then we moved around a little bit to different networks, and we found... Animation Domination with FXX, and we started working with them about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And we went, developed all the characters, and they're so awesome. They just understood us, and we've been friends with the producers for a long time, so they understood what we wanted to do.
I love that it has that 80s throwback feel with the animation, but then
totally.
You're touching on things like Purple Drink, really, is what happens in this first episode, and I can't believe I just said Purple Drink.
Purple Drink.
That just happened.
Yeah.
But it's so topical, but you feel like you're back watching shows you did in the 80s as
well. Well, I think in the 80s, it's kind of the Simpsons kind of changed animation. You know, they were so current, and they were so hilarious, and they were so funny, and they took the humor out from everything in pop culture. So we definitely use a lot of like current pop culture, but the attitude and the vibe, when you watch it, you just look like, if you take the sound off, it looks like it was some washed out film, you know, because we love to make it look like it's from the 80s and it's got this old feeling to it.
So you're the co-creator and the executive producer.
Yeah.
Do you have any more day to day? Do you help write? Do you?
The first time we all hooked up together, the producers and us, we spent about 2 days outlining whatever ideas we had, like 30 from the craziest ideas to the most easiest ideas, the characters we wanted to get in there, and then we just fine tune that, and then I let those guys work and animate for the next year, and they did such a great job. And our main artist is a guy named Ferry Gao. He's from London, and he's been drawing our artwork for 5 years. So he was
he's done a bunch of album covers and stuff.
Exactly,
right?
Did all our album covers.
How stoned should I be to watch this show?
Well, I think that this whole hour block is a great time to be stoned.
It is,
for the whole.
Okay. Animation Domination is just, it's for stoners.
Yeah.
It's going to help.
Let's be honest. Yeah. It is.
It really is.
Major Lazer, the TV show, debuts tonight on FXX at midnight. Hey, before we let you go, Diplo, let's talk about the record for a minute, because we won't see you again before it comes out on June 1st. Peace is the Mission. What are we up to now? Is this like album like 5 for you or something?
This is album 3, but we had 2 EPs in between albums. And
What were you trying to accomplish with this one?
I think this is just we had a huge record around the world with a song called "Get Free" with Amber Kaufman, and people, it was like a reggae record. It wasn't, people know Major Lazer for the parties and the shows and the heavy music that we did, but we had one reggae song that just transcended all our music. And so this album, we kind of went back to straight songwriting, and I think all the songs on there I'm really proud of. We kind of put different stuff on the production and made it crazy as we could, but the songs are very strong.
Let me see if I can. I'm going to source you on that. Is this really a reggae record? Let me look at these titles. Blaze It Up the Fire, Light It Up, Roll the Bass. Okay, yeah, I think it is. I don't think you're a liar there.
Yeah.
And Lean On It seems to, I know that's one of the songs that's got some great guests on it as well. That seems to be one that you kind of have adopted to spread the word about this album. Why is Lean On It so important?
That's record just we put out as the first single, and it's just done crazy numbers for us. It's the number 2 record on Spotify globally right now. We're just starting to reach America with it right now. So you play a little snippet of it in the intro segment.
Right.
I just think it was our strongest record. It has an exciting feel. You can dance to it. And we made a video in India while we were there on tour. And it's, if you go check out the video, it's really funny.
Is it difficult for you to put out a new album that might have some different sounds to it? Or is it easy? I mean, at some point people expect something from you.
Yeah. I think that this is like the first album we did was kind of like we kind of built on stereotypes of reggae and dancehall, and the second album we just kind of made a more EDM album because that was happening.
Right.
We kind of needed that when we were traveling. This album, I think, is like we have our own language now for what reggae and dancehall means with 2015 and how it's in our own way. So I think it's something, it kind of starts right now for us.
Well, congratulations on all your success, past, present, and future. You've got so many great things going on right now. Are you having the time of your life, or is it just so much work that you're barely able to enjoy it?
It's weird. It passes by so quick, you don't really get to enjoy it that much. But every time I talk to someone about it, like, what? You did all this?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I do need to sit back and maybe think, write in my diary. But in the meantime, I don't have time. I just want to just keep making awesome music,
Hey, you said before we let you go, you said you just spent 4 days at your mom's house.
Yeah.
What did your family think about the success that you've had and just the fact that you do what you do? I mean, is it weird for them? Is it hard for you to relate to them when you go back home now?
Not at all. My mother is like a huge fan. She's always asked me for merch, so she always wears like my shirts when I go home. Yeah. And she like follows me on Facebook and stuff. But my dad thought I was a drug dealer until about 2 years ago. He had no idea how I was
he
traveling.
He thought you were a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Really?
He didn't know. He's like, how are you going to this place and this place? What are you doing?
He just knows it sounds sketchy when you're going to Brazil all the time, right?
You're going to India, then you go to Jamaica. That's weird. No one does that.
Are you dealing drugs?
Yeah. So I just – but they just are happy that I'm not in prison, I think. So that's
sure.
Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
they shoot high. They shoot high for their son. They just don't want him to be in jail.
Well, I'm from Florida, so it wasn't like if you're just going like I want to make music the rest of my life. It's like there's not a lot of people that can do that.
That's
hard
true.
To make a living out of it. So I'm lucky.
Well, you have deserved every bit of it, Diplo. We always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming by
Thanks,
the
guys.
Kevin Bean Show today. As
no
always,
problem.
We got the phone lines open right now. If you would like to win tickets for a 3-day pass for this weekend at Coachella, I know you thought it was too late; those tickets are gone. But no, you can win them right now. You are going to have to earn them. Should we give them a hint, Kevin, or is it just a wide open phone call?
No, let's tell them the artist.
The hint is if you're a Jack White fan, that'll make this game a little bit easier for you. If you're a Jack White fan, you can get to see him. Of course, he's headlining on Saturday night. 1-800-520-1067. Your Coachella tickets right now. Call us at K Rock.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up. Also, Ralph Garman has the Showbiz Beat. But first, why don't we give away some Coachella tickets for weekend number two starting tomorrow with a little game that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Could I hear the whole theme song, please?
Just a Second!
All right. How's this one work, Kevin?
We play a second of Jack White, of a Jack White song. It could be from solo, any of his bands, anything, but it's Jack White music. We play 1 second. You identify the song.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it the first, it's the first second of the song, right?
It's the first second of the song.
Okay, the opening of the song, whether it's a White Stripes song, a Jack White solo song, or a Rockin' Tour song, you just tell us the name of the song, you go into the drawing to win your tickets for Coachella this weekend. Who's our first contestant, please?
First up is Chad in Montclair. Hi, Chad.
Hey, good morning, guys.
We will play the clip for you twice, but it's...
Just a second!
Just a second, right.
Here we go. One more time.
What's the song there, Chad?
It's a rock guy. I don't know it.
I'm sorry. That is so close, but no, it's Lazaretto. Yeah, that's how that one goes. Oh, that's such a good song. Such a good song. All right, you are not in the drawing. Let's see how Steven does. He's up next on line two, calling all the way from Palmdale. Steven, are you hearing us on the radio, or are you streaming it right now?
I am actually at work in North Hollywood.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense. All right, listen up. Yeah. Just a second. We'll play it for you twice.
One more time.
Steady as she goes.
Yes! Oh, well done.
You
are a Jack White fan, my friend, and you are one step closer to seeing him at Coachella this weekend. Well done, sir.
All right. Who's next?
I believe we're going to go with John Dell.
John
Dell in Rialto. Do I say that right, John Dell?
Yes, hello.
Hi. Fantastic. Listen up. Just a second. We'll play it for you twice.
Just a second!
One more time.
Is it Would You Fight For My Love?
No, I'm sorry. It's Seven Nation Army is what we were looking for this time.
Yeah,
sorry. Nice try. You're not allowed to go to any soccer games.
All right.
Frank is next. Hacienda Heights, line four.
Hey,
hi, Frank.
Frank.
Thanks a lot for listening to Kevin Beach. How you doing, man?
I'm well. And yourself?
Good.
Good. Good. All right, listen up.
One more time.
Iggy Thump?
Yes.
Nice. He groaned like he didn't know it.
He was mad at his answer.
Iggy Thump.
Oh, I
knew the other one, so...
You knew this one too, but you pulled that out. Well done, Frank. You're in the drawing for Coachella tickets. Congratulations so far. Alex is up next, Los Angeles, line five. Alex, how have you been doing playing along on hold?
Good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Well said. Listen up.
One more time.
No idea. Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was right. Fell in love with a girl. All right, we got time for just one more contestant, and I think this is going to be Janelle down in Anaheim. Go Ducks. Hey, Janelle.
How you doing?
Are you there? You cut out.
I'm here.
Okay, good.
Okay, good luck. Listen up.
Here we go. One more time.
We're going to be friends.
I'm sorry. No, that was actually Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground, but thank you for playing anyway. All right, so is it Steven or is it Frank? One will win his way into Coachella weekend number two starting tomorrow. Ali McKay, who's our winner?
I feel like whoever wins should take the other guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that'd be cool, but...
It's not going to happen.
They're not required to.
But the winner is Steven.
Steven
is the winner.
Congratulations, Steven.
What, Steven?
No way.
What way?
Sorry, I can't take the other guy.
Oh, all right.
That's the right choice, probably. Congratulations, Steven. Thanks for playing.
Just a second.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I think everything's on sale at Staples. I looked at their ad yesterday, and it's everything from flash drives to toner to printers. It's incredible.
That's
all right,
a strange question. I was thinking, how is Jesus supposed to know if he hasn't done research on the sale that's going on at Office Depot?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That happened.
Because Staples and Office Depot, they're the same, right?
You sure said Staples about 100 times.
Yeah. That happened.
What about Office Depot going there?
Well, you know how the Clippers play at Office Depot Center. Come on over there. That. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us next. He's got a very ugly story to talk to us about today. I think he's going to wag an admonishing finger at us.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, we're all to blame for what's happened in Florida.
What did you
somehow.
Do now?
Hey,
Bean?
We're not to blame for anything that goes on in Florida.
What did you
That's
do,
what
Bean?
I would like to say. But we'll find out from Dr. Drew coming up. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Speaking of Florida, did you hear about the stripper school that got shut down?
No.
Guy was renting out a mansion in Florida. And inside the mansion was running an adult modeling and stripper school.
Well, they have
where
to
girls
learn.
Would come to work the pole and pose for nude pornography.
And what's the... That sounds legal. What's the problem with that?
Well, they had parties, like, 24/7. Because, I don't know if you know this or not, but women who work in adult entertainment sometimes like to indulge in substances and dance and play loud music.
Brr.
And so they were in a high-end neighborhood, and the people complained so often about the noise mm-hmm. and the late-night parties... That the authorities had to come in and shut the whole thing down.
But what about...
Well, there was plenty of to go around. And the authorities even said, if it hadn't been for the noise, we probably would have left them alone. We had no problem what they were doing.
Just the noise.
But the neighbors kept complaining. They just couldn't keep their S together. So we had, had to clean out the joint.
Oh my God. You don't want that late at night.
I mean. So Florida fails again. They had the perfect situation. Fail. Okay. All right now.
No!
I want to touch on something we talked about last hour during the Showbiz Beat. And I want to get this information out there because it's important. Although Bean apparently wants Craig Robinson's show not to be on the air.
I said the opposite, by the way.
You
I can't wait for it to be on the air.
I was hoping NBC would pick that up because it's not going to be on the air ever.
Well, every time... Craig comes in, we say, what's going on with your show? And he's like, well, we're not on the schedule yet. So that,
Craig Robinson show, August 5th, 9 p.m. it debuts.
Boom.
Nice.
That's great news.
August 5th at 9 p.m., the Craig Robinson show debuts on
finally
NBC.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for
so
looking at
that. So there you go. There's your information. That's the news. You want the weather? This Dennis Quaid didn't have me fooled not for a second. Oh, he's melting down on the set. Oh, he's flipping out. He's angry. Pshaw, I say. Whole thing was a fake. Turns out Funny or Die put the video together. And what it was, they showed you the viral video that went out of him flipping out that was filmed on his cell phone. And then they flipped it around in the sketch and you got to see what he was talking about. It's like, this is horse ass. And he had actually stepped in some horse ass that was on the set. And I got to deal with this baby. And then they cut away and there's a woman holding a baby. And it was just,
I told you he hated babies.
Yeah. So it was a hilarious sketch on Funny
and
Die.
So not funny.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, it was not good. But we didn't buy it. We didn't buy the viral part.
Yeah.
Which is probably a big part of the
and as Kimmel said when he came on a couple nights ago, he's like, man, everybody's pointing to me like you pull 50 hoaxes and then all of a sudden thinks you're responsible.
Yeah, you're not to
everybody
be trusted anymore.
Blames you.
After 50 internet hoaxes. This is good news. You guys fans of Jason Sudeikis? I'm a big Jason Sudeikis fan.
Very much.
Yeah. Looks like he is in talks to star in a reboot of the Chevy Chase movie franchise Fletch. Hollywood Reporter says Relativity Studios has picked up the rights to the Gregory MacDonald novels that the films were based on, and they are currently in process of selecting writers for the first film. The original Flesh.
It's very different.
Flesh was a parody, I think. Was made in 1985 with Chevy, and then Fletch Lives was the sequel, of course.
And he was a PI?
No, he's an investigative reporter.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he also solved crimes by when he was looking into these stories and stuff.
It doesn't seem like
a good choice, I think. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it doesn't seem like Fletch, as great, especially that first movie was, it doesn't seem like that's one that has continued to find new fans with every generation like Stripes has and Animal House and Caddyshack and some of those other movies from that era.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Fletch is a little bit forgotten, I think, at this point.
I hasn't been with me and my friends, but I don't know how other people react to it. But it's all ball bearings these days.
That was a great movie,
it's
though,
great
right?
Great film. Go back and watch it. You'll enjoy it. And while we're talking
Fletch
movies,
or Flesh?
Flesh. Okay. Flesh is good, yeah. Matthew Vaughn, who has just given us so many great films, X-Men and Kingsman and Kick-Ass, he is in talks to bring Flash Gordon back to the big screen. Which I'm all for. I like the character. I love the 1980 version, although it was kind of a parody, more of a camp comedy than a legitimate action film. But I think if anybody can pull it off with style and class and humor, it is Matthew Vaughn. He brings that to all of his work. And I think he'd be a great choice to do Flash Gordon. So.
And curiously, the knockoff of that really was called Flash Gordon.
It was. That's right. That was the porn version of that. Flash! Ah! He'll save every one of us!
Yep.
All right. That was the... So that happened. Hey, Andy Dick is sober.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Have a little support for our friend Andy Dick.
I love Andy. We consider him a friend of the show. We've always wished him nothing but the best, but he's been sober 100 times in the last 10 years.
Actually, this is his 13th stint in rehab.
Mm,
but he went to the Sober Recovery Center in Malibu 3 months ago, and he's residing in an outpatient treatment center as we speak. And he says he's trying real hard to stay clean and sober, and he has so far for 3 months. So one day at a time, right? Come on.
Good, yeah. Good for you, Andy, if you're listening.
Look,
we love you, man.
It only has to stick once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
I wish that for him.
You don't.
I get nervous
every
time.
You want Craig Robinson show off the air and you want Andy Dick drunk. That's just the way you roll.
Look, I got to tell you, anytime Andy Dick is mentioned in the showbiz news, I fear for the worse.
And hope for the best.
So I'm glad you got good news for us today.
Last hour I did one of those Bugatti things, and I think I may have cheesed off some people, and I want to apologize.
Well, it was terrible.
It was not a good one. It was one of the better ones.
Right.
It made me laugh because it was kind of bad, and sometimes the bad ones are funnier to me. But this gentleman, Robert, in Denver, Colorado, does not agree.
Oh, no.
Morning, Ralph. I've always been on your side when you pit these recurring hook bits. But with Bugatti, I was a little apprehensive, as I find the song in question already a bit annoying. That said, I went along with the rest of the audience as we had to suffer the good and the bad and the callbacks from Afro calls and the game contestants. And I think after your most recent bit where you fumbled the punchline about hearty cooking, I think it's time to bid this bit farewell. I've always said it's best to know when to cut your losses before you make a mess of things. Just like last week when my wife tried to surprise me with a threesome for our anniversary. Great concept, right? Well, it would have been if the invitee had not looked like beer mug in drag.
Ooh.
Yeah. Poor execution is what can kill a great idea, Ralph. And let's just say, my wife's no good at being naughty. I woke up in a new Bugatti. My wife's no good at being naughty. My wife's no good at being naughty. My wife's no good at being naughty. Robert, Denver, Colorado. Boom! That just happened.
Duly noted.
People don't know, man.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Speaking of anniversaries, my wife and I married 10 years ago on this day.
Wow.
Happy anniversary.
Congratulations.
10 years. 10 years.
Is she still with you?
Yes, Kevin, okay. She's still with me.
I just thought the question needed to be asked.
Do you think it has
she's
felt
up on
longer
the roof.
For
she's
her?
Still, she's tethered up on the roof, but she's still with me.
Hanging by with a hose.
Yeah, she's literally whatever. Hanging by a thread.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think it's felt longer for her or longer for you, Ralph?
It has felt long for neither of us, Bean.
Oh.
Is that an option?
It's felt like a just
both people
10
can enjoy
days. Marriage.
Yes. Both of us are enjoying ourselves and having a lovely time.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
I don't believe you mean that at all.
I very much do.
You want Craig Robinson off of television, you want Andy Dick drunk, and you want me in a miserable marriage. That's what
none
you want.
None of those things.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Patriots coach Bill Belichick is 63 years old today.
I want you to deflate the ball.
Turned out not to be deflated, but no big deal.
Voice actor Billy West is 63. Don't you ever get tired of being an apologist?
No. I'll apologize for things that aren't wrong all the time.
All right.
What?
Voice actor Billy West is 63 years old. Martin Lawrence is 50. John Cryer, also 50 today. Peter Billingsley, 44 years old. He was Ralphie in Christmas Story. Akon's 42. Lucas Haas, little kid from Amish Palooza. No, what was the name of that movie?
Witness?
Witness, that's it.
He sure wasn't
the
Amish
original
Palooza.
The original title was Amish
was.
Palooza.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Now he's all grown up. He's 39 years old, and he's a very talented actor as an adult as well. And our very own K-Rock's Kat Corbett celebrates her birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What just happened? Tell me what just happened.
I was walking down the hallway, and it all went dark. And at first, of course, I thought it was me. But then
you thought you were having a stroke.
But then the entire station went completely dark, zero power.
Yeah, it looked like it went in a wave because it went dark in here. Then I looked through the window, and the last studio in this hallway was still light. And then within a second, just...
So it was like watching a power outage in real time,
yes.
like you would see in a city, like grid by grid, it was going down. Look, we've been working at KREC for a long time, and we've seen a lot of brief power outages. But I don't remember ever having one like you're describing, Kevin, where all the lights in the building went out.
Same. I don't remember that ever.
And I also don't remember there ever being a time where we were off the air for as long as we just were. How long were we completely down?
It felt like it was almost, I think, 2, 3, maybe even 5 minutes. Like it was.
You guys should check my Instagram and or Twitter. Okay, good. Because you could see my heroic efforts to
to
help us get back on the air.
Yeah.
As people, Dave was running down the hallway, and the engineers were running everywhere. Everybody was bouncing off the walls. Nobody knew what was happening. It was awesome. It was just sweet.
Cab dog mother rescue. About scary, chaotic situations. Kevin literally looked at me, and I'm just sitting here like, what the heck's going on? Kevin looked at me and goes, I don't know why, but I just love this. Like, oh, my God. I want him in that kind of situation because he's not panicked. He's just kind of digging.
I'm also not helping. But
yes. So, Hallie, in the event of the zombie apocalypse, do you, having seen what you saw today, do you want Kevin on your team?
I
keep things fun and lighthearted?
Do.
Or do you
he's
not because he makes no effort to save us?
No, he's going to keep it fun. We're going to die.
We're
going to
laugh while we go down.
Yeah.
Dave, let me ask you this, because you're the professional, you're the producer.
Take it easy.
Don't we, why didn't we have some sort of, don't we have a backup plan where if we go off the air, lose power or something like that?
Yeah.
Something else is supposed to go on.
We have a new plan, and that plan did not work. So, yeah, all right, so back to the drawing board. Let's go back to basic, you know, hey, let's put a CD in and switch it up. And
I feel like it went well. I'm happy with the way things work.
Hey, I don't care. My computer still works. So
how is Dave's computer? Every bit of electricity is gone from this building. Dave's computer is still working.
Oh, man. Is he at his own grid or something?
I think I am. And luckily, my
farm
is still alive.
Maybe he's plugged in Mexico.
You know, my farm is still alive. I was playing Bejeweled Blitz, so, you know.
Candy Crush is still good.
My high score lives.
We are apparently back on the air, and I think we're going to be fine. So we'll take a quick break and come back and do the showbiz beat. But I guess the takeaway on this whole thing is, thanks, Obama.
Right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 12:36. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. It's 9:44.
Look at that.
You didn't really say that
well,
on
it's
purpose,
the clock
did you?
Up there. No, yeah. I didn't do that on purpose.
Kevin will read whatever's put in front of him.
You read that and just,
well,
you
the
just
clock.
Read it. I understand, but you had to know it wasn't 12:36, though, right?
Yeah.
But well, you in your mind, that made sense to you, though, right, Kevin?
Well, only until I got to 12. And then the 36 was just kind of already in the chamber.
Ralph, what
Hall
was
of
it?
Fame!
I can't explain my actions. You know how people always insist on telling you boring stories about what the earthquake was like for them?
Yes.
What was it like for you in the office when the power went out 30 minutes ago?
I was like, oh. Power failure. Power went out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And how about your coworkers?
Christine across the office there, she acted like she was an aboriginal seeing an eclipse for the first time. I think she thought the sun was being blotted out or the aliens were landing.
In her defense, we didn't know at that point whether...
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, my... Oh! Oh! Oh, what? Oh, my God!
It's just the
electricity has failed. Christine, you didn't get shot. No one, you didn't go blind. It's just the lights went out. Yeah, it's a bit of a problem. We need power, but all is well. Remain calm.
I feel like everything's going well.
What the hell? It's like a meteorite landed in the middle of the office. Ow! Ow, what's happening? What's happening? Well, remember when a Coke bottle falls into the outback and some aborigine finds it and they think it's gods are speaking to them? I think Christine thought God was
gods must be crazy.
Gods
must be crazy. What a great movie that is.
Yes.
Love it. That's very funny.
This was a fun hour.
As rinky-dink as K-Rock is, I'm not surprised by how poorly we handled this.
Many people suspected that the FCC had enough of my Bugatti jokes and just pulled the plug.
Well, I know America has.
Yes. Who could blame them?
Or maybe that Beer Mug was trying to make a Pop-Tart and he plugged in a toaster oven into the...
Another valid concern.
Into the studio's power source. But there's many, many theories. No answers yet. They're looking into it.
Okay.
And apparently our sister station stayed on the air.
Oh, is that right?
Jack
Wait,
FM,
in the building?
Jack FM, what? Apparently. You can still hear whatever you want that they're playing over there, because they play what they want to play.
They're
you
know? In our building,
they're
though.
In our building, yeah. Apparently they stayed
only
on K-Rock the
only K-Rock went dark?
Only K-Rock, yes.
Huh.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Dennis Quaid and his fake rant. We called it yesterday, and we were right. It turned out to be a hoax. Folks at Funny or Die released a video late yesterday showing that Dennis Quaid's meltdown on the set wasn't real after all. It was just a staged gag for Funny or Die. So, remain calm. Christine saw that video. She was like, oh, my God! Why is he yelling at those people? What's wrong with him? What's happening?
It's funny.
We had a shooter with a trank dart.
You don't know how people are going to react until that happens. No. And you go, what is going on?
I was like, Christine, what's wrong with you? I react this way all the time. Like, well, you're insane.
It's a terrible way to go
don't
through life.
Do that anymore. Stop it. Kobe Smulders is going to be in an upcoming episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know Maria Hill. She plays that character in the Avengers movies, and now she's going to be on television again. She said to Jimmy Kimmel that she bounces back and forth between the movies and the TV show to link the two worlds. Because I guess Mark Ruffalo's not going to stop by, so they get her to come in. But I always like seeing her on the show. Speaking of superhero movies, Warner Brothers is not going to go down without a fight in this big summer of the Avengers. And, of course, Star Wars coming out later this year. They want to create some hype for their new film, Batman v. Superman Dawn of Justice. So next Monday, there will be a 15-minute teaser trailer. I guess that's hardly a teaser trailer at 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It's a big chunk of the movie.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a little prelude from Zack Snyder, the director. He has an introduction, and they're going to show some footage. Anyway, it's only happening at select IMAX theaters across these great United States of ours. So if you want to check it out, you have to go to Batman v. Superman, dawnofjustice.com/IMAX, and that'll give you a list of all the IMAX theaters and how to get your passes to attend this special event that's happening on Monday.
Not interested.
Come on! Aren't you interested?
I'm not sure I'm interested in that. No, but, I am sure. I am not interested in that.
Man.
Not interested!
What does it take to get you guys interested?
I think you're confusing interesting with boring.
That may be the case. Kristen Bell. I love Kristen Bell. I love her.
She is awesome.
That's just because I hear her voice constantly in my home.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Frozen. She plays Anna in Frozen.
Sure.
But she is very pro-vaccination. She is as pro-vaccination as Jenny McCarthy is anti. And she's constantly talking out about people who need to get their kids vaccinated. And she says, she's a little crazy, but she says people should get vaccinated because there's lots of scientific proven information out there about it.
That's her source?
Yeah, that's a crazy idea. Who would do anything based on science and fact? But she says they're necessary, particularly to protect other children, told Good Housekeeping magazine, that if an unimmunized child goes to school with someone who is battling cancer or has an autoimmune disease, they're putting that other student's life at risk. And she says vaccines are there to protect the weak among us. That's who we have to protect. So, Kristen Bell.
It's science.
It is science. And we're talking about kids and celebrities. Scarlett Johansson is... It's refreshing to hear a showbiz woman say she has no idea what she's doing when she's raising a child.
Oh.
She's got a new baby, and she says she's such a new mom. She says she can't stand when actors or other big names have big, grandiose statements about parenting. She admits that she doesn't know anything more than anybody else does, and she's struggling just like everybody. So she's a good deal right there. You know your pal, Charlotte McKinney?
Yep.
Had her in on the show. You may remember her from the Carl's Jr. commercial where she was all natural, eating that natural burger. Nude photos of her have hit the internet. Apparently they have been leaked. No one knows who leaked them, how they got out, but they're all over the place.
What was Christine's reaction when she heard about
this? Oh, my God, look at her! There's no clothes! Oh, what's happening? Are all the clothes disappearing?
That's a weird reaction.
We had to tie it down if she saw that. And Charlotte's also dating Stephen Dorff, actor Stephen Dorff. So there's your Charlotte McKinney update.
All right.
Maybe remember him from Dorff on Golf.
It was a series of videos where
different
he would get out there and put shoes on his knees. He's like, okay, I'm going to hit the golf ball now.
Nope,
like,
that was Stephen a character Dorf from Tim so Conway. Nothing to do with Stephen Dorff.
You're funny.
By the way, he has to be twice her age, right? She's probably 21, 22. He's got to be in his 40s.
Yeah, got to be.
I would think. Okay. Well done.
Good for you, Stephen Dorff.
Today's celebrity. Like to thank the engineers for resetting the clock at 9:19. That's helpful.
It's actually
closer than 12:36 was.
9:51 a.m. right now.
Right.
That's what time it is.
Right.
In case you're following. In case you're playing along at home.
It was like speeding through, and I was like, oh, they're going to fix it. Nope, just a half
Kevin
hour.
Kevin thought he was traveling through time.
I did.
He really did.
He's I liked it.
Oh, look, I'm traveling through time. The time is changing. I'm going to leap now. I'm going to make a leap into someone else's life.
How dare you?
Yeah. Scott Bakula. Scott Bakula humor. Today's celebrity birthdays. Patriots coach Bill Belichick celebrates his 63rd birthday today. Yes. Leader of the Death Star that is known as the New England Patriots.
How do you guys think he relaxes in the offseason? What do you think his non-playing weeks are like?
I drink the blood of virgins.
He's bedazzling hoodies.
We need to set up more cameras in the end zone. Get me Tom Brady's wife. I need some fresh meat.
Giselle quit. Did you hear about that? She retired from the catwalk. She will no longer be doing the catwalk. She will still be modeling, however, not just on the catwalk. Apparently, there was lots of tears and hugging on her last show this week. She
gotta
walked
be tough for Christine.
She walked. With clothes on. That's what she did for a living.
Yep.
Let's everyone relax for a minute, okay?
Especially Christine.
Why is she stopping? Why can't she not walk anymore? What's wrong with her legs?
Nothing, Christine. Nothing's wrong with her legs. Voice actor Billy.
I'm going to take Christine to Penn and Teller one night in Las Vegas and see how she handles that.
Where did it go? Where did that car go? There was a car on the stadium. Now it's gone. It was behind a curtain. Now it's missing.
Voice actor Billy West is 63 years old today. Actor Martin Lawrence is 50. John Cryer, also 50 years old today. Peter Billingsley, he was Little Ralphie in A Christmas Story, 44 years old today. Now he's all grown up.
What happened to him? He got older and larger. I don't understand.
He used to be a little kid.
I'd like to thank the engineers for resetting the clock at 8:53. That's good work.
The 53 part is right. Akon is 42 years old today. Actor Lucas Haas is 39. And K-Rock's Kat Corbett, her birthday is today. Yeah.
Okay.
Kat's mom there wishing her a happy birthday.
That's sweet.
Maybe the engineers should just let the clock, just leave it alone until we're off the air so Kevin can focus on something else.
He's losing his mind.
He's a little bit like a 2-year-old if you dangle keys in front of his face. All he can think about now is the clock.
Shut up, I'm videotaping.
This isn't the right time either. I don't even know what time it is.
But Ralph, my point is that they reset the clock.
I understand.
It started at 0:00.
There's many other clocks.
And then they fast-forward all the way
here.
To the wrong time.
I understand, but there's many other clocks here that we can all look at and say, oh, it's 9:54 here in the world-famous K-Rock. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
8:54, according to the engineer.
Let's go home.
Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have some more tickets to see the Clippers in the playoffs. We have Tim Simons in the studio.
Oh,
love Tim.
Tim. Have you seen the new Veeps?
I have not seen the first episode of this season.
Man.
Was it the best ever episode of Veep, Ralph?
I think it was.
I think that's saying something.
Yeah. Because they're all so good, but I laughed so hard.
Ryan Getzlaff will be on the program tomorrow talking about playoffs and whatnot. And comedian Whitney Cummings will be here. So that's all tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show.